much about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
200 bucks on the dance floor. 200 bucks on the dance floor.
2 minutes.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Kevin and Bean Show is my life's inspiration of to be what I am inside me. They just bring it out and project what I have, what I got.
Wow, I had no idea you were moron.
It's a pretty quiet party, Murray.
It's only just started, Jermaine. Look at Brett, he's having a good time. Hey, Brett, you think it's rocking now? You wait till Jim gets here. It's going to be twice this. It's like a one-man party.
Well, does he need us then?
Did you guys know Ryan Seacrest tried to high-five a blind guy?
Oh, good for you! And how was it?
Yeah, right.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Hey, everybody, here comes the choo-choo!
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over. Roll another one.
Really? Are you kidding me?
Just like the other one.
Did somebody order a hooker over
this
here?
This one seems to be about to quit.
That's pretty goddamn impressive.
And I need another hit.
It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
I mean, he is super, super, super at this.
Roll another one.
He was riding dirty,
just like the other one.
It's the most racist thing I've ever heard.
This one seems to be about to end.
It ain't natural.
I don't have another cent.
When you lose weight, does it affect your sex life?
He was a bigger.
And now,
let's hear it for vegetables.
Yeah!
Woo, woo! Let's hear it for fruits. Yeah!
Our feature presentation.
Let's hear it for Four Loco Friday.
Woo!
That's what I'm saying.
Is that today? That's today the day?
Yeah, are you kidding?
Because you sound normal.
Well, we
haven't started.
What's wrong with you? I just figured, I know you. I figured you'd start on the way in, you know.
How dare you? I drive. I'm responsible.
By the way, let's hear it for fruits and let's hear it for vegetables, by the way, as we get started.
What exactly was that from?
It was Obama. Michelle Obama,
Michelle,
right?
Obama. Oh. And trying to get kids to eat fruit and get people to grow.
She knows
vegetables.
How to do it. I mean, really, to get that chant going, it's tough.
I know. And you could tell the kids were down on fruit, but once it got to vegetables, they really had already then lost interest.
Yeah.
You can pick up the phone and give us a call, 1-800-520-1067. That's the toll-free number to get on the air to be part of Kevin and Bean's What to Do Nephew. Get on the air, get a prize. Actually, I haven't even read this story yet, so we'll be learning about this one together. But I loved the headline so much that I had to see it. Naked sleepwalker wins 10 million euros in record-breaking Irish libel case.
Irish libel case?
How about that? Businessman was celebrating today after winning a $10 million libel case following a bizarre naked sleepwalking incident. You know, from time to time, we'll take calls here on the show with people who sleepwalk and the funny things that they do. And sometimes they don't remember them. And sometimes they do things they probably wouldn't do when they were awake. And
yeah,
sometimes
they're
naked.
They can be so extreme. Get in their car and drive.
Yeah.
It's
bizarre.
And we hear from lots of people, too, who have sleep sex, too. You know, they
that's
may not
correct.
Get up and walk around, but they are still doing something while they're asleep that they have no memory of. Or at least that's what I claim.
Yeah, that's the answer.
Donald Kinsella, 67 years old, apparently sued his place of employment because they put out a press release claiming that he had made inappropriate advances to a female colleague while on a business trip to Africa. Apparently, he got up and walked over to her where she was staying. They're staying in a one of those game reserves or something like that. So he had sleepwalked up to this coworker's door, knocked on the door 3 times. Somebody came out and told him to turn around and go back to bed. And that was the extent of it, by the way. He never got into the room. He never had sex with anybody.
Did he say,
I would like to extend to you an invitation to the pants party?
Did he at least say that? I don't know. So there was no – he did not get into the room. There was no improper conduct. Yet somehow still the company put out a press release telling everybody what happened.
Saying watch out for this guy?
No, because they suspended him to investigate. And he's like, hey. He said he became an international laughingstock following the allegations. The press release suggested that something juicy had occurred and made it sound like, in his words, he had tried to jump the company secretary. So he sued them for libel. And 10 million euros is what he got, which is by far the largest libel award ever in Ireland. That's, I think he had a point, by the way.
Yeah, no kidding.
He had a point, and it was all worth it.
It's bizarre behavior by the company.
Yeah, if you can walk around naked and get 10 million euros out of it, do it.
Sure.
Do it again. Sleeping, what do you want from me? Now the company would be afraid to say anything about him.
Yep. Anyway, good times.
All right, time for your phone calls. 1-800-520-1067. You call with anything that you want to talk about or something that we may have missed that you'd like to hear about. We'll put you on the air and give you a prize.
We're sorry. You must first dial a 0 or 1.
What it do, what it do, what it do?
What it do, nephew?
So, what it do?
What it do, nephew?
How about a pair of passes to see Mr. Warren Miller's latest called Wintervention, coming to the LAOC area December 2nd through the 10th, along with a pair of tickets to Ski Dazzle. That's happening December 2nd through the 5th, all at the Los Angeles Convention Center. There is snow falling, by the way. You know there are some places in this country that have already gotten 18-inch snowfalls?
No. I know.
It has been, they say it's the La Nina West Coast winter, which means for you, probably colder and rainier. For me, probably colder, rainier, and snowier.
Nice.
But, yeah, it's going to be quite a winter ahead, so it's a good time to get in with Warren Miller.
All right, let's start with Fred on line one. Hey, Fred.
What it do, everybody?
What it do?
What it do? Hi.
Hey, guys. All right, check us out. I'm watching the Heat game the other day, right? And I'm like, there's something terribly wrong with Chris Bosh. And then it hit me. He is the Eli Manning of the NBA.
Oh, is he a mouth breather?
Yes, he is. And I mean, I think he's more extreme than Eli Manning. You guys have to check this out.
I didn't notice that. I haven't noticed that before. I know that his performance is way down, and it is kind of fun to watch Miami struggling to win games.
I think the other day he pulled out his recharge strength because he had a great game.
Yeah, I know. I know, but he hasn't lived up to that, so maybe he is Eli.
Now, do they make him wear a helmet on the field, too?
No. He doesn't. You can't wear a helmet in basketball. But
Well, you could if you were retarded.
It'll make you hurt.
That'd be funny.
I guess, yeah.
So apparently the NBA is covering it up. That's what I'm saying. I'm suggesting that they know it, and they're letting him out there to get hurt.
Yeah, could be.
With his super soft head. All right, we'll keep an eye on that. Thank you very much. Yeah, it has not worked out having the three superstar team. It has not necessarily worked out the way Miami had hoped when they got everybody together.
Not yet, but you sure do expect it to turn around at some point.
Yeah.
Tad is on the phone. Hey, Tad.
What's going on, guys? What it do?
What it do?
Oh, man, it was really funny you guys talking about sleepwalking. I'm a sleep twitcher myself, personally.
A sleep twitcher?
Yeah, sleep twitcher. Like, I twitch, like, right when I'm falling asleep in the middle of the night, I'll, like, my whole body will, like, tweak and all this stuff, and I'm laying down with my girlfriend last night, and I punched her in the face.
Oh, no.
I know. I felt so bad, and she wakes up, and she's like, gushing blood out of her nose because she has a nose ring.
Did you know that you did it? I mean, did that wake you up as well?
No. She woke me up and she's like, what did you do to me? And I'm like, what do you mean? And then like, I turn on the light and she's just like gushing blood and her nose ring is like all like tweaked. And
man.
I felt so bad.
It doesn't sound like it. Sounds like you had a great time.
But I had to call and give you guys a laugh.
Sure, yeah. Yeah,
that is stuff. By the way, I've done that exact same thing, Ted. I'm totally right there with you.
Oh man, okay. At least I'm not the only one in the world.
No, not at all.
Yeah, and by the way, you don't want beat on your side for anything, Ted.
Thank you very much for the call. By the way, we appreciate it. What is that thing, Psycho Mike? Maybe this has come up. Maybe someone has called on Loveline and asked the question. I've never heard the answer. What is it that causes that thing where you're sleeping or you're laying down, you're totally fine, and then all of a sudden you're falling 100 stories and you just jerk up awake? What causes that?
We don't get that call in particular, but we get the sleep punching, sleep sex call a lot. I mean, sleepwalking sex happens from what I can, if I take anything away from the show, quite often, because people call with that all the time, where I just punch my girlfriend, I don't know why, I hump my girlfriend, I don't know why. I guess it's just a manifestation of what's on your mind subconsciously, and it plays out in some weird way that you don't understand. It's, you know, in deep REM. It only happens to people who can achieve deep sleep. That's the one thing I take away from Dr. Drew.
What does REM have to do with this? I don't understand the tie-in.
It's just, it's weird. Well, we haven't quite figured out the human mind, I guess.
Not completely. No, if you take anything away from today's show. All right, let's talk about today's Kevin DeBeecho, shall we?
Your story is a beautiful story.
Haven't told
from my
yet.
Point of view,
haven't,
it's a beautiful story.
Haven't said
I
it yet.
Love your story.
Haven't really laid anything out for you yet, except for Four Loko Friday, which you may be a fan of. Dimitri Martin will be on the program today.
In I
studio.
Love him.
Very funny.
Yep.
He's got a show at the Wiltern coming up. It's Friday, so that we have Adam Carolla.
Yeah.
This Week in Rage.
Mm-hmm.
We have a new exciting episode of Would You Like to Take That Back?
Ah, excellent.
Been keeping those together so that we can do that. Harry Potter comes out today. And this is the book, I Don't Remember What Happened Last Time. I think that's the name of it. So we're going to try and get caught up on the storyline. Where
that
are we exactly in that story? Because it seems like it's a year, year and a half between
it's
movies.
It's been a while.
2 years.
It's been a long time this time. And, of course, I saw them interviewing people who went to the midnight screenings last
sure.
night. It, you know, opened early this morning. And they were all just raving about how great it was. But would you expect anything less? From people who go to a midnight Harry Potter screening. I mean, they're obviously heavily, heavily invested.
We're also going to talk to the world's biggest Harry Potter fan. And he's put up a video on YouTube. And, I mean, it's his whole house. Wall to ceiling, floors, bed.
Really?
Everything is covered with Harry Potter stuff. And yet, no lightning mark on his forehead. Seems like you'd start with that.
Lame.
And probably no date.
Yeah, well, there's no question about that. We're also going to talk to Liam Lynch today. And this is about his friend, and maybe the best video we've seen in a long time.
No way. Not ever. No, he's Johnny Hanna Sticks. Hammering away like he's friggin' Tommy Noble. The hell's he doing? Thinks he's got it going, bossing over. No way.
Love him so much. We're old on that. I know we're behind on that. It came out like 5-6 years ago, but we just saw it, and it just it kills us. So we got that coming up today. We have the Movie Beat, as it is Friday. And Pau Gasol from the Lakers will be on the program today.
Yeah. Damn. Wow.
And Denzel Washington on the program today.
Nice.
You're an idiot asshole.
What?
Oh, come on. Wow.
How dare you?
Really? Denzel?
Denzel Washington, yeah. So yesterday, Russell Crowe. Today, Denzel Washington.
Hmm.
I don't know what's happening, but when these people figure out what show they're on, they're going to be very upset. We will take a break and come back with the showbiz.
And don't forget, today's the day to buy your tickets for night number 2 of the Almost Acoustic Christmas concert we've been telling you about with Phoenix and Vampire Weekend, Brandon Flowers, Black Keys, Temper Trap, Neon Trees, Florence, and Her Machine, by the way. You don't have to choose. You get them both.
Wow.
Edward Sharpe and his Magnetic Zeros, plus Broken Bells. That is one big night. Get all the details at the website, and good luck noon today. Ralph Garman's here on the Kevin and Bean Show for a Friday. What's going on, dude?
More delicious details coming out about the Eva Longoria Tony Parker divorce. We're so happy. We love each other so much. We're so much better than you. Ha! We all say. Ha!
They say that a lot, didn't they?
They were the best couple in the world.
Yeah.
She was never so in love and had the best lover in the world, and had the greatest woman in the world.
That's right.
Ha! We say collectively as we watch their marriage dissolve. Apparently, Tony Parker was in constant contact with a woman named Erin Berry, who was the wife of Tony's former Spurs teammate, Brent Berry. It turns out that they are already filing divorce. That couple's already has a divorce in the works in Texas.
Okay.
So it looks like both Erin and Tony are clearing their dockets,
sure.
as it were, for future relationship. However, Tony claims, after literally hundreds and hundreds of text messages between each other, that the relationship with Erin Berry was never a physical one. He was just giving her a shoulder to cry on in the midst of her troubled relationship.
Well, that's really considering
he is a good guy. You know those NBA players,
they're known for that.
For counseling people in a chaste and gentlemanly fashion.
You're having a rough time, they will listen. That's
you don't
you know.
Send a woman tops 10 texts if she's not going to have sex with you, right?
No, you do not.
You're out, right.
You send her one. Sorry to hear about you and Brent.
Right.
Best of luck.
Good luck with
that. That's all you got. But he that's your next text. But then he said that's your third text. If you're not having sex with her.
Yeah.
Oh, guess who's angry at Gwyneth Paltrow?
Who?
Besides everyone who likes hot girls with big boobs.
And everyone that watched Glee.
Well, she was good on Glee this week, I thought.
No, I'm just kidding.
She was real good. But Lindsay Lohan, not happy with Gwyneth Paltrow. I don't know if you remember the episode, if you saw it this week or not, but she played a sort of free-spirited substitute teacher who was all about trying to involve her kids in the class into the subject at hand and trying to make things fun and make learning fun. So as a Spanish teacher, she was asking in Spanish to the class, How crazy is Lindsay Lohan?
Oh, that's funny.
How many times has she been in rehab? Cinco veces. So she was like incorporating pop culture into the Spanish lesson, trying to get the kids involved. Well, Dina Lohan has gone ape-ass over this.
Oh, my God.
Yesterday, her attorney released a statement saying, "We are all very sadly disappointed with the Glee writers and also disappointed that such a huge celebrity as Gwyneth Paltrow would relay such a message about a contemporary." First of all, she was playing a character. She wasn't on The Tonight Show saying Lindsay Lohan's crazy.
Right.
She said that they're not mentioning a lawsuit yet.
Oh, really? Because something they said wasn't true?
But they are keeping their options open.
Because she never went to rehab?
Oh, well, she did.
Actually. Or what?
Here's the thing. This is the same attorney who filed and won that lawsuit against the E-Trade Super Bowl commercial. Remember when the babies were talking about a baby named Lindsay who was a milkaholic?
Oh, yeah.
And the little baby's name was Lindsay? They sued and won that case. So
they won that?
Yeah.
No, they must have settled that. They won it?
That's what it says in this story. So stay tuned for more details.
Sure seems like that's fair game.
Yeah, I would absolutely think so.
Well, if she has been to rehab five times, it seems like that's an unshakable case that that Glee can defend themselves with.
But they did call her loca several times.
Well, that's debatable.
Yeah, I'm kidding.
I don't think it's debatable. Sad news for fan of the medium.
Did you say fan?
Yeah, of the show Medium.
He's going to be so disappointed.
He's going to be so disappointed. CBS has canceled Medium after 5 years. The final episode will air January the 21st.
Wow.
See you, Medium.
I'm going to miss that show.
Yeah.
That's a good run.
He or her who started it was an excellent show about that thing.
And the supporting cast with all that stuff?
They were all so good.
They supported well.
TV news, Kelsey Grammer. Mm-hmm. Frazier apparently headed back to television. He is going to do an original series on the Starz cable network. A show called Boss, where he will play the mayor of Chicago. The show is a drama, by the way, not a comedy.
Hmm. Oh, interesting.
So a different tact for Kelsey's career, when I think is maybe overdue. His past few sitcoms have been lackluster at best.
Yeah.
It's hard to compare to Frasier and Cheers, which are television icons, and I think maybe it's a good idea for him to go in a dramatic fashion and see how his career moves from there. And it's just been announced, halftime talent for the Super Bowl next year. What, Kevin? You look worried already.
Well, it's always bad.
Yeah, you never like them.
It's almost always bad.
You never like them.
Well, it's not for football fans.
Said that, Kevin, haven't they had Bruce Springsteen
and he was fun.
Tom Petty in recent years?
Yeah,
both
Tom
of
Petty
them,
blows.
I think, are appropriate
what?
Yeah. For football
Tom
fans.
Tom Petty blows?
Oh, my God. Please. Is it someone like that?
No, it's not, all Kevin, right. With
just
your
asking.
Sneering face.
Please don't make it like the Black Eyed Peas or somebody. I can't take it.
It is the Black Eyed Peas.
No,
we'll
it's
performing
not.
Performing at halftime.
No, it's not.
Yeah,
I was,
it is.
I did not know that, by the way. I was just thinking the worst possible entertainment. Are you kidding?
It's been confirmed.
They've got a feeling about that night.
The Black Eyed Peas.
Yep.
Will be performing at the halftime show. So
come on.
You get them in the Cowboys Stadium in Dallas on February the 6th. Eagles Patriots.
No way. Not ever.
It's already been decided.
Eagles Patriots.
Today's celebrity birthdays.
It's funny because you were talking about the Super Bowl and you said the Eagles.
Yeah, I did. A little left-handed gentleman named Michael Vick will lead us to the promised land. Jodie Foster is 48 years old today. Meg Ryan is 49. Matt Sorum of Velvet Revolver and Guns N' Roses is 50 years old today. Actress Allison Janney celebrates her 51st birthday. Mogul Ted Turner is 72 years old today. And talk show host extraordinaire Larry King. Larry King, our man Larry.
Mm-hmm.
The greatest ever.
Hey, we're going to miss him. I know we've mocked, but we're really going to miss him when he's not on our TVs anymore.
We're going to miss making
Who's
fun
we?
Of him?
Larry King, yeah. He's provided a lot of entertainment over the years.
You're serious about we're going to miss him.
Poker face. Poker face.
The defense rests.
You're going to miss the clips you pulled from a show that were horrible that we made fun of.
His craziness we're going to miss.
Yeah. He's 77 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. Hold on a second before I go away. I've got some passes to give away to the advanced screening of Black Swan.
Oh.
New movie starring Mila Kunis and the delicious Natalie Portman.
Yes.
It is in select theaters Friday, December the 3rd. However, you will get to see it on Thursday, December the 2nd. If you're one of the lucky callers at 1-800-520-1067, you'll see our special advanced screening of the spectacular film by Darren Aronofsky, Black Swan. So call now. First caller to get through. First caller to get through. We'll get a pair of passes right now. 1-800-520-106. What'd I say?
Yeah.
Yeah, you know the number.
Mm-hmm.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Next hour, right on this very radio program you're listening to, we're going to talk to Oscar-winning actor Denzel Washington. He's the star of Unstoppable, which I believe Ralph may have recommended to you last week in the Movie Beat. Let's see what he's talking about for this weekend at the cinema. It's time for Ralph Garman and the Movie Beat.
In a world, someone has been watching. One man who risked everything.
I'm sorry, I have not seen any of your films.
Without seeing the movies. Ralph Garman's Movie Beat. Welcome to my world.
Well, if you're in a movie this week and you don't have a giant lightning bolt scar on your forehead, you don't have much of a shot. That's what I'm guessing.
You're thinking Harry Potter.
No, no. No, Russell Crowe in Next 3 Days. He's got a giant...
big scar?
Big scar on his forehead. I don't know who this Harry Potter is you're talking of, but first movie we're going to take a look at is The Next 3 Days. Russell Crowe plays a man whose wife is unjustly accused of murder. And so, like any good husband, instead of hiring a lawyer, he decides to break her out of a maximum security prison.
Sure.
Because he's a good dad and a good husband. And that's what real husbands do.
They don't go through the legal system.
No, that's for saps. Suckers. What he does is enlist the aid of a gentleman who has broken out of that same said prison. Liam Neeson plays Damian Pennington. Who sounds like he should be an earl or something rather than a convict.
I love Liam Neeson.
John Brennan is Russell Crowe in this film. Here's a scene from The Next 3 Days where Russell is asking Liam, just how do you break out of a prison, pal?
No prison in the world is airtight. Each one has a key. You just have to find it. You have to know where you're going to go and how you're going to get there. You have to know how they plan to catch you. From the time they make the call... The police can have the center of the city sealed tight in 15 minutes. Within 35 minutes, they can have cops at every toll booth on the interstate.
What if you can't get up? 35 minutes is not a lot of time.
Then surrender. Because they will shoot you on sight.
Ah! Hey, don't be so downbeat, man. Yeah. Come on, give me some energy here.
Where's my pep talk, Liam
Neeson? Come on
now. Also opening this weekend is Harry Potter and the Deadly Hallows. And listen, we all have hallows. In our lives, we've all dealt with hallows. It's the deadly ones you got to look out for. Hallows are completely innocuous. Some hallows are friendly.
I don't know what hallow
is. But
the
deadly, I have no idea either.
Okay.
But apparently Harry Potter's been able to get some deadly ones.
Right.
And those have to be the worst kind of hallows,
I imagine.
In my opinion.
Yeah.
What is a hallow? Anyone who follows any of this?
It's a cyst on your ovary.
I don't believe that's...
Isn't it something made holy? Like a hallow, and they refer to something that's been put onto a holy site.
Look, if you don't know, don't just step up to the microphone.
I read
guess.
The books, and I don't remember.
Well, there you go.
I don't know about it in the books. I meant in real life.
I think it's an animal.
I think it's a vegetable.
Come on.
Are they really deadly, though? I think it's from the turnip family.
Oh, Mike just pulled up dictionary.com. Hallow, to make holy, sanctify, consecrate.
I think I just served pretty much everybody.
No, you didn't, because it can't possibly mean that in this context.
You guys asked, does anybody know what a hallow is?
In the Harry Potter universe.
What it means in the real world.
You need a nap.
I'm sorry.
You need a nap and a binky, because you are a cranky little boy.
Is it that time of the month for you?
I'm sorry.
All right.
Rupert Grint returns as Ron, Harry's best friend. Daniel Radcliffe, of course, is Harry Potter. And he is fighting these hallows. He is fighting these things that make holy.
Now, are they deathly?
Are they armed? Definition.
How
does
a
hallow
kill
you?
I don't know. I saw the first movie and I was like, okay, I'm good.
So I like these
I'm
movies.
A couple behind.
I like them too.
I like these
I'm
movies,
like
but I'm as far behind as you are.
Behind, apparently.
I've seen them all. And you
all
know.
I know is Harry's got to stop No-Nose.
Yeah.
Who flies around. On a broom or something, and then...
That's the evil lord that we do not speak his name,
right.
Or whatever that thing is. We must sound like total idiots.
Lord Voldemort.
Yes, Voldemort.
Yeah, and then he's got Ron, his buddy, and he's got...
Hermione.
And they read books, and
is
then...
he knocking out with Hermione now?
No.
Come on
no,
now.
He's
he wasn't
Ron's
the one I
sister.
Saw.
So Lisa, where are your singing dogs? Ralph, I didn't even mention the singing
There's
dogs yet.
No singing dogs.
And then an owl delivers a letter, and then next thing I know, a portrait is talking to somebody, and then there's a wand, but you got to use it right, and so the giant brings you a big lizard with wings.
What
and
are you talking
hooves.
About?
It's all crazy.
I think people know whether they want to go see the new Harry Potter movie or not, pretty much.
Well, here's a scene from that film where Ron is telling Harry, no, you can't go out on your own to fight No-Nos. Hasn't he been fighting No-Nos for like 4 movies
the
now?
The whole series revolves around that.
Oh, this is a slow-moving story.
That's why he has a scar on his forehead, man.
Oh,
That's when No-Nose killed his parents.
All the magic in the
Keep
world.
Up.
No plastic surgery over there in Hogwarts. They can't have a doc come in and take a look at Harry's forehead and give him a nice dermabrasion and clear that up for him.
Good
all
point.
The magic in the world. They can't make his little hideous scar disappear. He's got to carry that around everywhere.
Yeah.
Oh, they have magicians with hair lips now and the guys with no legs and stuff. Is it Harry and the Deformed Classmates? Is that the next film? What's up with this movie series? Anyway, here's a scene with Harry and Ron.
Going somewhere? Nobody else is going to die. Not for me. You may be the chosen one, mate. This is a whole lot bigger than that. It's always been bigger than that. Come with me. I'll leave Hermione. You're mad. We wouldn't last 2 days without her. Don't tell her I said that. Besides, you still got the trace on you.
I have to start finding these Horcruxes. They're our only chance to beat him, and the longer we stay here, the stronger he gets.
Gotta find Horcruxes?
Now I know what a Horcrux is.
I do too.
Yeah.
I did that last night. My wife, I did the Horcrux.
Really?
Yeah.
Lord Voldemort takes pieces of his soul and hides them, and you can't kill him until you find them all.
So the Horcrux
like a treasure hunt?
Is kind a part of Lord Voldemort's soul?
Yes.
So that he cannot be killed?
Yes.
I see.
Now you know why I'm out.
All right. I like these movies.
Dungeons and Dragons times, man.
Oh, they're amazing.
These are good.
You roll the dice.
Magical.
You get a scepter, Ralph. And then you can put on the cloak of invisibility and whatever, whatever.
In the next
Enjoy
hour.
Enjoy, people.
In the next hour, we're going to try and get people who are straight with the story, and they know where we
First
are
of all,
going.
There's no one straight looking at these movies. I'll tell you that right now.
To call in and kind of give us an update so we know where to start.
That's the movie for the weekend. It opened last night, midnight showings everywhere, and apparently it's already made $47 billion showings. So congratulations to all you potheads out there. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the movie beat.
All that you know is at an end.
That was Ralph Garman's Ralph Garman's movie beat.
You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. Comedian Dimitri Martin on the program later on today. Also, Pau Gasol from the Los Angeles Lakers and a young up-and-coming actor named Denzel Washington. All that on the way here on The Kevin and Bean Show. Very excited, by the way. Been too long since we talked to Liam Lynch here on The Kevin and Bean Show. Of course, musician, writer, director, and my favorite, puppeteer. Liam, welcome back to the show, my friend. How are you?
Hey, good morning.
We were just discussing before we brought you on that you are forever going to be the hero of Psycho Mike here on the Kevin and Bean Show just for directing the Tenacious D movie. So you
sure.
got that going.
Hey,
for
and I co-wrote it.
Yes,
and co-wrote. All right, fine.
What is with the weird time rift between myself and the Kevin and Bean Show?
You know, it is odd. If you're talking about drinking out of cups or whatever that is, yeah. We just discovered that. I don't know, 3 days ago. When did you put it up?
Well, I think we need to rewind.
Okay, all right.
About five years ago when I was last on the show.
Right.
Talking about my song United States or Whatever, which right. I had recorded 5 years prior.
Okay, good.
To it being on K-Rock.
So what's the rush? Is that what you're saying?
And now here we are.
Mm-hmm.
Talking about something I made 5 years ago.
So you're doing something, whatever it is you're working on now, you can expect a phone call from us in 2015.
I will not talk to you about it until 2015.
2015, all right,
okay.
Good.
Fantastic.
As long as we have established rules in place. Now, how did we miss this? I don't know. But tell us about your friend.
Dan Deacon. Yeah, he's an excellent musician that with tons of character and...
Alcohol?
No.
Weed?
No.
LSD?
You know, I don't
Shrooms?
Know how that started, but...
cough medicine?
Dan was completely sober while doing that.
Then I love him more than I thought I did.
To show that, you know, human brains are naturally weird.
What about Scissor?
What's that?
What about Scissor before Lobo?
I don't think there was any of that involved either. All right, Kevin, play a little bit of the audio, and then we'll describe what happened to it once Liam Lynch got a hold of it.
No way. Not ever. Now he's Johnny Hanna Sticks. I'm running away like he's freaking Tommy Noble. What the hell's he doing? Thinks he's got it going, bossing over. No way. No way.
Now, we don't know what he's looking at. And you don't show us what he's looking at, but you put up
Dan has so many great songs, and
is that one of them?
I do. That is one of them.
It is.
It's that spoken thing, and the song is called "Drinking Out of Cups."
Okay.
And I saw Dan's work online, and he has so many just infectious songs that are sort of based on lo-fi electronic stuff that he does. And I contacted him and said, man, I've got to do something with you. And Drinking Out of Cups, that video, is actually from my podcast. I do a video podcast between real jobs, and it's called Lynchland, and it's on iTunes. It's on my website, liamlynch.net.
Dude, we're going to talk to you about that in 3 years.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. And so that was actually from the very first episode I ever did of my podcast, and people cut their favorite parts of my podcast because it's kind of like a variety show of all sorts of short, funny videos and animations and stuff. And that was from the very first episode, and somebody cut it out of the episode and put it on YouTube. I didn't put that on YouTube.
Interesting. Wow. And what made you think the way you animated it, having the voice come out of a lizard and everything else that goes on behind
it? Yeah, I mean, it's really surreal. I don't know. I you know, to be honest, the best strategy was to not think about it.
Yeah,
right.
And it's just fun. I don't know. Why did I do a TV show with sock puppets?
Well, that's another good question.
It was just, you know what, it's so fun, and I have a huge appreciation for random humor, and I couldn't find a better thing than that. In fact, on my podcast, a Dan Deacon song is the theme song to my podcast show. It's a song that's called Big, 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 Big. The name of the song. Dan's a great guy, and he's one of the first people I've ever met that has used numbers as adjectives. Where like if something's good, he's like, I had a great show last night. It was like 100. Two nights before that, it was like maybe 800 or 900.
Now, do you know the scale? Is that 100 out of 1,000, or it's
Dan's own scale?
A random number. Here's a little bit more of Dan.
What is this garbage? What is this? Oh, I'm king of the trees. I'm the tree meister. I count on them. Well, sometimes I prag. I like to steal. Yeah, right. This guy's a guy's some sort of Indian in the teepee. Oh, this guy thinks he's Captain Knots. Thinks he's Captain Tying Knots. When everyone needs some knots tied, they go to him. Bullshit.
That's true. That's not cool if you have to go to him for knots.
Liam, was he actually flipping around on a television looking at things and commenting, or is it all stream of consciousness? Yeah. Where did his reference come from?
It's a little of both. It's a little of both. But,
gotcha.
But, you know, someone online, I think, you know, lots of people have reposted this on YouTube, and they all have millions of views. And
sure.
That's insane.
Which are just sort of, like, added up over the years. And Dan... I think somebody maybe on a message board said that guy's like in a closet tripping or something. But
well, it sounds like
it. That was like kind of a rumor that was going around that it was like some guy on acid or something. It's not. It's you know.
But we've been trying desperately to figure out what he could have been, even if he was flipping around, what he could have been watching when he said, "What are you, Mr. Tree Meister and a King of Knots?
Balloon Hands, yeah.
What are you, Mr. Balloon Hands?"
I think the best thing to do is to just take it as a. You know, just a dose of a type of attitude.
Insanity.
Just enjoy and savor.
Well, listen, that's what we've been doing.
I am definitely going to start tracking down more of his stuff based on your recommendation. So name is Dan Deacon.
There's songs that actually, you know, have music, and they are amazing. They're amazing.
Yeah,
he's amazing.
Great.
You know, he's one of these, like, really great, unique. He's like a Reggie Watts type of character that's like, you know, just making music that isn't, it's just his own thing. You
would
know?
You agree with that, Dan?
No way. Not ever.
Nope. Sorry.
You can keep up with what's going on with Liam Lynch, including his podcast at liamlynch.net. So we'll make it a date then. 2015.
Yeah.
We're going to have another conversation with you, right, dude?
I can't wait to talk to you guys.
All right. Sounds good, man. Thanks for coming on.
All right. Bye.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and it is 6:57.
You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on Harry Potter Friday. Hey, if you're
Four Loko Friday,
come
all
on
at the
same
now.
Time? Wow, this is too much. We're going to talk to the guy who claims to be the world's biggest Harry Potter fan. Coming up after the top of the hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Also, Denzel Washington next hour. Now, Ralph's got the showbiz beat. What's going on?
It's my magic wand.
It is,
yeah.
I don't see anything changing.
Yeah, it's on the inside where it counts.
All right, before I get to showbiz news, I do have some passes to give away to the very special, very exciting
Kevin and Bean advanced screening of Black Swan. This is an erotic thriller starring Natalie Portman and Mila Kunis as ballerinas.
Oh, my God.
That's what I'm talking about.
It's just, it's a cornucopia of goodness right
there.
Are
they ballerinas in love, I hope?
And hate,
no,
I think.
No, I think mostly hate.
And Darren Aronofsky is the director. So that's a big bucket of wind, too, right there.
Yeah. Sure. Oh, he's the best.
It comes out in select theaters on Friday, December the 3rd. You get to see it Thursday, December 2nd, if you're the lucky caller at 1-800-520-1067. First call to get through. We'll win a pair of passes to see Black Swan. Why the swan got to be black? That's what I want to know. Well, interestingly enough, Angelina of the Jersey Shore was the most repugnant, the most repulsive, the most annoying, and yet the most sort of disposable and forgettable cast member of that show. It's hard to do both.
Yeah,
and
true.
She did. She was the one you really hated the most, and yet every season when she got kicked out early, which she did, you right. didn't mind seeing her go. Because she didn't seem to be a real central character. She didn't seem to be at the crux of the Jersey Shore universe.
Right.
Well, that's all about to change.
Okay.
Because finally, after waiting months of delay, Angelina has finally dropped her first single.
All right.
And I am excited.
She's singing.
Kevin.
All right.
She's an artist. She's not only singing, she's rapping.
What? Yes.
Is that what you do when you can't sing?
Yes. And I think they had to auto-tune her rapping.
No.
From what I can hear from this single, which is just a tragic situation. No pun intended. She's got a hype man who does a duet with her on her new single, I'm Hot.
Her new single is I'm Hot.
It's called I'm Hot.
Okay.
Never has a bigger lie been perpetrated in American music than Angelina saying I'm Hot. And it is
good.
The greatest song you've ever heard, first right. of all. Now, as you listen to this, you'll hear the hype man sort of setting things up, and then you'll see hear Angelina kick it in. I don't know what to say other than please enjoy.
Angelina turns it on, party till the break of dawn. All the freaking light shines strong, blast the music all night long. Hanging out with all her friends, living like there is no end. It's Angelina, like you never seen her. She used to be the badass girl, yeah, from the hood. But now she's busting all the doors down in Hollywood. She's doing all the things that people never thought she could.
We're 30 seconds in.
Hey, don't ruin the flow.
There's no her.
Well, now she's going to come in right now and it's going to sound like a jump cut.
But that's just what makes Angelina misunderstood.
I'm hot, so hot. I'm like an ice cream cone with a cherry on top. And I got a lot. No, I won't stop till I pop to the top. I take a shot, it hits the spot. Then dance a lot until I drop. I shop and shop, I just can't stop. I even hopped the cop, I popped his crop.
That's what I'm talking about.
She
the new
is retarded.
Yes. That's awesome.
I think it's hot. It's hot.
It is.
It's hot.
It is hot.
It's tight.
It's tight.
It's a hit, man, and I like it.
Yeah, me too.
I'm going to go get it.
I'm going to get it.
That's the keeper right there.
Oh, I can't wait for the whole album. I want a whole album of those songs.
That's seriously short bus.
The complexity of the lyrics and the language, the way she reaches into the ennui of the American spirit.
And there are layers of meaning.
So many. Yeah. So many, Lisa. It really is.
Get Bruce Springsteen on the phone. He's got a new favorite song.
Wow. This makes Whip My Hair look like Beethoven.
Yep. Who knew? Wow. That's great.
It does sound like the first song a kid would write when he's about 11,
yes,
right?
Yes, that's exactly what it sounds like.
And then no one would ever hear because it's so
bad.
Most
simple rhymes, right. The most banal point of view, just...
But she's got the flow.
I'm hot. First of all, I'm hot like an ice cream cone. F you. Diametrically opposed right there. Being hot and being an ice cream cone. You couldn't think of one example of something that's hot? I'm hot like a butane lighter. I'm hot like a birthday candle. I'm hot.
I'm hot like a boiling pot.
There you go. Even if you want to go to your stupid simple rhymes, that works. I'm hot like an ice cream cone. No.
With a cherry on top, Ralph.
Come on,
don't
Angelina.
Sell her short.
Angelina. All the guys want to kiss her.
They do.
Yeah.
They do.
All the girls hate her.
I miss the golden age of the DJ Pauly D song now.
We all do.
That's unbelievable. We were making fun of that until we heard this.
Yeah. All right. I burned up all my showbiz time, but I thought it was worth it because
wow.
I am still reeling from that. Find that at HollywoodLife.com, by the way. I want to thank those folks for introducing me to that. But
wow.
Wow.
Wow. And the guy
you
is worse than she is.
Promoting sin.
The guy's worse than she is.
Oh, barely,
yes, absolutely.
The worst hype man ever.
Yeah.
Here is Angelina, like you've never seen. It sounds like something Omar and Miss Cleo would do down in Studio Q here at the station.
Make bad on purpose.
Yes, yeah, exactly. Yeah. All right. Today's celebrity birthdays, talk show host Larry King. He's 77 years old. Albuquerque. That's what I figured.
Every time for a drop.
We'd be in for a bunch of those, but I guess not. All right.
Sorry.
Ted Turner, 72 years old today. Actress Allison Janney, who I loved so much. On the West Wing.
Yeah, she was great.
Yeah.
And then I've just turned against her with her radio commercials about healthcare. Oh, man. I don't cut down trees. Come with us. We use electronic filing. Shut up. All right.
Thanks, Anderson.
Good timing.
She's 51 years old. Matt Sorum of Velvet Revolver and Guns N' Roses is 50.
Tonight, Snoop Dogg gets real and keeps it crack-a-lackin'.
He's crack-a-lackin'. Meg Ryan is 49 years old today.
You're putting me on.
No, she's actually 49. And Jodie Foster. She's sexy. Think I got a shot?
Nope.
Yeah. She's 48 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
Thanks for tuning in to the Kevin and Bean Show. Big, big hour for you, including Denzel Washington later on this hour in about a half an hour or so. And then next hour, Dimitri Martin is going to be here as well. It's Harry Potter Day. There's a contest going on Movie Phone to look for the world's biggest Harry Potter fan. Now, I have not done the research on this, Kevin, but what do you win if you are named the biggest Harry Potter fan?
I don't know.
What,
Dave, do you
what's
know?
The prize?
The label?
I don't know.
We don't really do research on this.
No, we just saw the
video.
We
just saw the video and were amazed.
Because of, somebody who listened sent it in. It was a friend of his. And this guy is out of his freaking mind with Harry Potter. Here's a little bit of the audio from the YouTube video.
Hello, I'm Harry Potter himself. You're looking for America's biggest Harry Potter fan, but you're in luck. You found the world's biggest Harry Potter fan. I've been reading the book since I was 11 years old, and I've read each of them over 100 times.
If you'd like to go and see this video, it is at kevinandbean.com. And he looks a lot like Harry Potter. And
he really, he really, really does. And one of the reasons I was excited to maybe talk to him was to find out what his real voice sounds like, or does he walk around pretending to sound like Harry Potter all the time?
I'm imagining that he just put on that voice for this video.
Yeah. You hope so.
Every single inch of his floor, bed, walls, windows, everything is covered with Harry Potter stuff. I mean, it's excessive to the point of scary.
Three rooms he has.
And yet no scar on his forehead.
Nope.
How do you overlook that?
That's a good question.
I know the story's inside and out. For the past 12 years, I've been the biggest, most obsessed Harry Potter fan anybody knows.
We had him lined up to talk to him on the phone, but apparently he can't answer his cell phone.
I waited for 4 hours outside Wizarding World of Harry Potter on opening day. I've seen each of the movies, the day they were released, if not at midnight. And I camped outside Borders for 24 hours so that I could get Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows. And eventually when I did, I was crowned king of the Grand Hallows Ball. I know every bit of Harry Potter trivia, from potions and spells, to creatures and characters, and the actors that play them. I filled three rooms of my house with Harry Potter collectibles. Over 15 wands, prop replicas, even dress robes that I wore to prom. And if that wasn't enough for you, I can wear Harry Potter clothing every day for 3 months. Without wearing the same thing twice.
Don't shortchange him on being able to wear a different Harry Potter costume every day for 3 months without repeating.
He's got 90 Harry Potter outfits, is what he's basically telling us that.
Over $13,000 worth of memorabilia, 4 Harry Potter tattoos, including J.K. Rowling's signature on his arm that he then went and had tattooed. And I don't know if we heard this part or not, but he said he has read each of the books over 100 times each.
Yeah, each book over 100 times.
My God. There's got to be something else to do in this life.
Thank you to Kevin and Bean listener Trevor in Pittsburgh, who turned us on to Steve, who is the guy in the video who Trevor actually knows, and he's trying to win the competition from MoviePhone.com. Now, big day for not a big day for Steve because he's already seen Harry Potter twice by now, I'm sure. But even Dave, the King of Mexico, has already seen the new Harry Potter movie.
Yeah.
And Dave, you are also a huge Harry Potter fan, right? Because you're a little emotionally retarded.
Yeah, I'm a big fan. I mean, I really, really enjoy those movies.
I do too.
So anytime
they come around, I'm there, you know?
And now, you saw it in 3D or no?
It's not in 3D.
No, it is
not in 3D.
I saw it on
that's
IMAX.
That's right. They lied about that.
No, they were going to put it in 3D because they
I saw a trailer in 3D.
They usually have selected scenes in 3D,
right.
But they scrapped that for
they
this
finally
one.
Said, we're not going to make it.
Yeah,
for
they
this
said,
one?
Forget okay. about it, yeah.
But the next movie, the one that comes out in June, will be in 3D.
Yes. Right.
Will be available in 3D.
Now, this is in two parts, right? This is the final book, The Deathly Hallows, in two parts.
The last book is in two parts.
I'm not the world's biggest Harry Potter fan like that guy.
Neither am I.
I don't even know where we are.
It has been a long time since the last movie.
I've seen all the movies.
Yeah.
And I know that that Harry Potter is fighting the man whose name we can't say.
The guy with no nose.
Yeah, that guy. No nose guy. And that they finally come to blows this time. But I don't have any idea where we are in the storyline. Is he still at Hogwarts, the magic school or whatever?
No, I think they closed it down because of no nose guy.
Oh, no nose guy.
Because the threat was too high. So.
Oh.
Yeah. And it's funny because in this video, I mean this video, the movie, if you don't remember anything from the past movies, you're lost.
They don't catch you up?
No, they just go right from the start.
Here's what happened in the last four movies.
Nope, it's go, go, go.
That's trouble for me.
Yeah, so you might want to catch up, Kevin, maybe.
I'm not sure.
Watch all seven movies or six movies before.
How to do that in the time.
Well, we did put up the Mike Realm remix video of all the Harry Potter movies.
That
kind of made an attempt to walk you through the story. But we thought, you know what, we got a couple of minutes here before Denzel Washington joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show. Let's get the hardcore Harry Potter fans to give us the briefest of all possible overviews, the through lines of the stories that are in play as the new movie opens up, so that when Kevin goes this weekend, he'll have a tiny idea of what's happening.
Yeah. So here's what I remember. I remember that the dude with no nose tried to kill Harry Potter and couldn't.
He killed his parents.
That's how the whole thing started.
And Harry Potter survived.
Everything's blurry from there on.
Everything you seem to remember seems to only be from the first movie.
No, no, I've
you
seen
have
all.
Seen all the other films,
I've
right?
seen all the movies, and I love them, but there's a lot of spells, and they take a lot of classes, and they run around the woods a lot.
Right, that's true.
And their owls deliver mail, I know that, and then I'm out.
Remember, he has that big fat friend.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
He has that giant friend.
Yeah, Hagrid.
Sure.
He has the ginger kid. That's his friend. Ron Weasley.
And
the hot girl, Hermione.
Uncomfortably hot girl.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The smart.
By the way.
The mudblood. The mudblood, right?
Yeah.
It's funny how it was, she was just a little kid when these movies started, and then gradually, every 2 years when you go back to the theater, it starts to become more and more awkward.
I'm uncomfortable with how hot she is.
Right.
All right. Let's go to Ari as we begin to try and catch up before today. Ari, hi. So Hogwarts is closed.
Yeah, and Death Eaters took over.
Death Eaters took over.
Quarters.
Yeah.
And you know Snape, the guy who killed Dumbledore, is that okay to say?
Yes.
He's the headmaster of
Dumbledore
Hogwarts
is dead?
Oh,
that happened like two movies ago.
No, was the last. That was the end of the last movie.
Yeah, I know.
What's going on?
Dumbledore's dead, dude.
So much stuff.
What's wrong? Well, keep up. So the Death Eaters took over the school, so it's not a fun school now. You don't want to go to
it. No, it's an evil school, and people get hurt and stuff.
By the Death Eaters.
They learn dark magic.
Wait, they just
it's
get hurt?
Really bad.
Why don't they leave?
Yeah. It's a school run by Death Eaters.
Yeah, you don't want to mess up the Death Eaters, man. They don't mess around.
So now it's closed, and Harry Potter has to go try to get it reopened?
Yeah,
it's open still.
All right, but for bad people.
No, but Harry has to kill who shall not be named. He's left the school.
Yeah. No nose.
Yeah.
Has left the school, and Harry has left the school.
And remember, Harry's trying to build an army.
All right.
With the Order of the Phoenix?
Yes.
I don't remember.
Yeah, that was in the movie before.
I think so, yeah. They start practicing on their own.
1-800-520-1067. Not that Dave, the King of Mexico, isn't doing the job.
Oh, I'm right on.
With summarizing. But maybe you can help at 1-800-520-1067. We'll be right back.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show on a Friday, a very special Friday for Harry Potter fans. You know, Dave, a guy like you who's been on this ride since the beginning, you have to be actually a little bit sad that there's only one more movie left, and then it's over for you. Then you're going to have to grow up and be an adult.
Yeah, I know. I'm kind of bummed. Well, no, I got Narnia, you know, so.
Sure.
Oh, that's
true. Narnia in December. It's only in the third book, so I'm good.
All right.
By the way, we don't have time now or maybe ever to get into Dave telling us yesterday that Lord of the Rings sucks, but Harry Potter
please.
Is awesome.
No,
don't even have
that.
Time to get started. All right, so here's the problem. There are going to be a lot of people like my man Kevin here who are excited about Harry Potter, have seen the previous movies, looking forward to going, have no idea where we are in the story.
And
so
Dave says they don't give you any kind of nod to it. So they hit the ground running.
Yep, go.
And if you don't know what's going on, you're lost.
You're lost.
Don't even bother.
For me.
So we need a couple of the major plot points so we know what it is we should be looking for when we go. Let's start with Lonnie on line 6. Lonnie's got a tip for us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. What should we know when we go into Harry Potter this weekend?
You guys have to keep in mind that Harry Potter turned 17 in this movie, which means the protection that he had from his mom wears off.
Oh, oh. Interesting. I didn't remember that.
And yeah, what was and it? Tell me about the protection. What did that protect him from?
It was pretty much the reason why Harry Potter survived Lord Voldemort when he was a baby, because his mom sacrificed himself.
Okay, and then so then she protected him until he was 17, and now she's like, see ya!
Once he's 17, it wipes off along with the trace that the Ministry of Magic has. So now he can actually perform magic he's not underage anymore.
Ah. So does this mean that he could be killed? Is that what this means?
Yes.
Yeah, and the whole thing is Voldemort's trying to kill him now, and Harry is trying to kill Lord Voldemort by finding all the Horcruxes.
Okay, does he die?
I
need to know before I go.
All right. See, now that was very useful what Lonnie told us. Yeah.
Can you imagine being 17 and trying to kill a fool? You know, like just trying to blast him with your wand.
But he's Harry Potter.
Yeah,
he's been doing this
for this exactly.
Yeah. Come on,
let's try Chris line 3. He's got another dimension of the Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows story to catch us up on. Hi, Chris, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hey guys. First, I just say, the Lord Voldemort is back, so basically all the ones that he's after and wants to exterminate from the wizarding world are the Mudbloods, which are the wizards that are that have no magical family.
Right.
Okay. Yeah, they come from, it's like when a wizard mates with a normal person, and they have their kids are Mudbloods.
Okay.
Right? Half.
And it's kind of scary because... Because
he has no nose.
No. Not only that, but in this movie, it's kind of eerie how they just have these people called the Snatchers, where they just go and pick up Mudbloods and you take them to the Ministry of Magic, and who knows what they do to them,
That's
kill one person.
That's the strangest sentence
that's
ever been said.
it's so weird. It's kind of scary. And for this, for kids, it's really dark, so...
Love it.
Yeah, that's why I like
it. People listening right now who think everyone who's going to Harry Potter is crazy. All right, we have time for one more. Let's do Isabella, by the way, who apparently is going to explain to us what the Deathly Hallows are, which is what we were trying to figure out. Isabella, welcome to the Kevin DeBean Show. Hi.
Hi. The Deathly Hallows are 3 items that Harry and Lord Voldemort both want.
Okay, why do they want them?
Because with all 3 items... The person who has all 3 items are unstoppable, and Harry already has one of the items.
Okay, so Harry needs the other 2, and Voldemort wants all 3, so they're fighting over those, and then whoever gets all 3 can be victorious?
Yes.
Okay. Do both Lord Voldemort and Harry know what the 3 items are?
Yes.
It's on.
Old legend.
Okay. Right.
All right. There you go, Kevin. That's helpful. All right. Right? You just got schooled by a 12-year-old.
Isabella's 12. Thank you for the call. I appreciate it. Now, is that what I need to know, Dave? Why am I asking
you? You're ready to go.
Why am I asking you?
You're ready to go.
Denzel Washington is next.
All right. Dimitri Martin, very funny man, good actor too, joining us on the show next half hour here on the Kevin DeBean Show. And Psycho Mike, by the way, I'm really surprised, even though he's only going to be on the phone, that you're not wearing a suit and tie for your boyfriend, Pau, next hour.
Pau Gasol. Yeah.
I'm wearing a tie.
He is wearing a tie.
Okay. You're all set. Isn't it something, as we prepare to get to Mr. Denzel Washington here in just a moment? I mean, Pau has always been good, but man, is he great now.
Yeah. Well, I think it was the surrounding cast members. He kind of flourished. He flourished when he came to the Lakers.
Yep.
Right.
And they needed exactly what he had, so it was perfect. But I'll tell you, we were just talking a second ago about Harry Potter and how I'm confused about that one. This unstoppable, this one I can understand because there's a train going fast.
Right.
And it's not stoppable.
Seems pretty easy.
That's it. There's no Voldemort. There's no spells.
Horcruxes.
There's no, Horcruxes and schools that are being run by Death Eaters. It's just a train, and it's not stoppable. That's what we know about it.
No pun intended. It's more your speed. It's something you get your head around. You get the plot, right?
Right.
Exactly.
So here's a clip, as we wait for Denzel, of him talking to the person who's in charge of, who is she? What do you call her? What's the name for her? The dispatcher.
Okay.
He's talking to the dispatcher. Thank you.
Just wanted to see how you boys are doing.
We're doing about 60 miles an hour, Connie.
Frank, I don't understand.
We're going after your train.
Level 6, I'm not hearing you.
Your rear knuckle was left open, so if we can catch up, we can tie it onto our locomotive. Try and slow down 777.
Frank, you can't.
We already are.
That train's carrying 30,000 gallons of toxic chemicals. They had a window before, but that train's going into populated areas. There's no way they derail it now.
Are you sure about that?
I don't see. At that point, I'm out.
Yeah.
She says 30,000 gallons of toxic chemicals, and you can't do it, I say,
start evacuating.
All right. Gave it my best. See you later.
Even if it is your job, and you are the train conductor, you just say, this one's too big for me.
Well, if they're telling you it can't be done.
Well.
It can't be stopped, Bean. Yeah. You know, the name of the movie is Unstoppable.
I haven't
He know that as a conductor, that the movie he's in is called Unstoppable?
I haven't seen the film, but I'm betting that it does get stopped.
It better
Well, are you disappointed if the movie's called Unstoppable and you go and he stops the train? Is that what you're saying?
Is it called Unstoppable? No, all right, so at the end of this movie, it should be barreling like 200 miles an hour, and it'll say, to be continued. And then the next one will come on, and then it'll say, Stoppable.
Okay.
Denzel did his job.
I think I would be fine with that, too. All right, we're getting very, very dangerously close now. Apparently, they are now talking to him, and he's going to be
talking to his people. And they're saying, Kevin and Bean are stalling, and they're not very good at it.
Can you please
get him on the phone?
This is, I barely recovered from talking to Russell Crowe yesterday, and now you put Denzel Washington on the phone? This is almost too much for me to handle, but we're going to give it a try and try not to embarrass ourselves. Mr. Denzel Washington, two-time Academy Award winner, joining us on the Kevin and Bean Show, Unstoppable in theaters now. How are you, sir?
I'm excellent. Good morning.
We are delighted to talk to you, man. This is a big thrill. So let's get the business out of the way first. You're back with your man, Tony Scott. You guys have got one of the great director-actor relationships of all time. I mean, how's it work?
Well, he keeps calling.
Yeah. but who's in charge? Because I would suggest that you are.
Actually, this film this was a script I gave to him. And he had a great vision on it, and made an intense and a just a rah-rah kind of crazy, you know, film.
Right. And, of course, you did another train movie, just a couple of years ago with the Pelham 123 film. Was there any concern? I don't know if I want to get back on another train.
Well,
that's a lot of work.
The bottom line, I think, with Pelham was it was a hostage movie more than a train movie. It could have taken place on a bus and I'm not on the train that much.
Yeah, true.
In this movie, the train is the star. You know,
that's right.
Like jaws on wheels. I'm just like hanging off the side of it, trying to hold on for dear life.
Now, we talked to Chris Pine about this, and he was saying, it's a unique opportunity to work opposite of you, Denzel Washington. And he sort of felt like he had to up his game a little bit. What did you feel about working with him?
Well, you know, 17 years ago, I did my first Tony Scott film, which was Crimson Tide. And I was working with Gene Hackman.
Yeah.
And I felt the same way. Like, I better come with my A game. I'm like, this is Gene Hackman. So I guess it's flattering.
And that's one of the beautiful things, one of the reasons why people fall in love with acting, isn't it, is that opportunity to flex your muscles in different ways with different people in that same community where you kind of have respect for each other. I mean, that's what makes it fun. I mean, it's probably as much fun for you to work with a veteran as it is with a new guy now because it's you get to use different muscles.
I mean, my last movie, Book of Eli, I got to fight 16 guys all at once and win.
Yeah, and win, right.
And win.
Yeah.
And this time I get to drive, and I'm actually driving a locomotive with, I don't know, 30-some-odd cars behind it that reaches back a mile. And, I mean, that's power, and it's, you know, and fun.
Now, when you say drive, really, you're just hanging on, right? I mean, you're just, there's no driving a train.
They taught me how to drive. Yes, they actually taught me how to drive.
Isn't there just braking and speeding up? Is there actual driving?
I broke, speed up, slow down, disengage cars, reverse, engage new cars.
So you got to learn.
But you didn't hear that from me because they're not supposed to teach you how to drive.
Sure, of course not.
And you did some what looked like fairly serious and dangerous stunts of your own in this film too, right?
Yeah, very. I'd call them stupid. I wouldn't call them dangerous. I'd call them stupid.
Right.
Yeah, I'm up there on top of a train that's moving 50 miles an hour, and I'm running across the top of a train.
That's now, why they have stuntmen.
The stuntmen did the overwhelming majority of it, but I had to do everything they did. I had to do so that you would know it was my face. I mean, we didn't do any green screen or CGI stuff, and I think that's a part of what makes the film that much more intense because you don't see any break in the action. You go, wait a minute, that's Denzel up there,
right?
And I'm going to suggest there's no stuntman in Hollywood good-looking enough to be Denzel Washington's stuntman. You ever think about that?
Thank you very much, sir.
I didn't think about that, but now that you say it, yeah.
We are talking about the film that is in theaters right now called Unstoppable, because really, Harry Potter is for losers. Wouldn't you say, Denzel? Anyone going to see that Harry Potter movie? You don't want to have any piece of that anyway, right?
Well, no, I can't say that.
He can't say that.
Harry Potter has his followers, has got a great following, but we have a great following, too, and I'm just saying for folks to go out and check out our movie, because the audiences are raving about it. You know, we've got nothing but great reviews about it. Everybody that comes out thinks it's one of the most intense things they saw. So, you know.
Has it become
us on Friday and Harry Potter on Saturday.
There you go.
Perfect.
And us again on Sunday.
Has it become a more difficult world to get your movie noticed?
Is it a more difficult world?
Yeah. Now than it was 10 years ago, 15 years ago. I mean, it just seems like you have so much competition from not just movies, but sporting events. It seems like it's difficult to get anyone's attention.
Yeah, I guess the internet and all. And, you know, a lot of movies, the studios are relying just on the super big films like a Harry Potter or different, franchises.
Right.
But, mm-hmm. You know, I've been able to continue over the years to just carve a niche out for myself. And good movies speak for themselves, and Unstoppable is a good movie.
Yeah, you're squeaking by. You're doing all right.
I'm squeaking by. I'm hanging in there.
We were talking...
I am getting paid for this interview, aren't I?
What? Yes, sure. Yeah. Uh-huh.
We were talking. We had a minute to stall, Mr. Washington, before you came on the Kevin and Bean Show here, and we were talking about our favorite movies of ones that you've done and the ones that, you know, that we can't turn away from when we come across them on our satellite when we're watching. You've done so many. Do you have a favorite Denzel Washington movie, or are they all your little babies and you can't choose?
No, my wife's favorite was used to be Crimson Tide.
You're right.
Mm-hmm. My son loved Glory.
Yes.
And a lot of people love Training Day. I don't have a favorite.
You were so great in Training Day. And Man on Fire is one
Man
of my...
Man on Fire. My wife loves Man on Fire.
You put a bomb in that guy's ass. That happened. I was like, no way, awesome.
In our remaining moments, let me ask you about a couple of other things I'm dying to know the answer to, because who knows, God will ever have a chance to talk to you again. A guy like you that's been around for so long, what's it like when, for instance, the Saturday Night Live guy, Jay Farrow, the new cast member this year, starts doing Denzel on the show every couple of weeks? Is that flattering for you? Is it annoying for you? Do you even ever hear about it? What are your thoughts on his impression?
You know, it was weird because the sound of it, when I first saw him on YouTube, and I said, how did they get my voice? I said, he must have stolen it. He when I saw it on Saturday Night Live, it wasn't as much of a shock because he didn't look like me or really act like me, I thought.
But thought it was your voice originally?
When I saw him on YouTube, it was the first time I thought I heard my own voice.
Wow.
I've heard other people do, you know, imitations, but this kid was the first time I'm like, man, is that, I wasn't sure whether it was me or not. You know, and then I listened to it more. I said, okay, no, that's me doing Training Day.
Right.
You know, and
right.
I think that's what he's kind of captured, the Training Day voice.
Yeah, what a compliment to him, though. And he definitely has...
I think he owes me some money, doesn't he?
I think so. He should write you a check.
He
definitely has your smile. All right, and one more question for you. Again, Denzel Washington on the phone here on the Kevin Bean Show, urging you to go see his new movie, Unstoppable, in theaters this week. And I have to ask, because I saw that you have been invited to be one of the presenters, and you're going to Oslo, Norway, for the Nobel Peace Prize concert in a couple of weeks. Is that right?
Yes, I am.
What are you singing?
Okay. What
are you singing?
I don't think he's singing.
Oh, you're not singing? Oh.
No, I don't think he's singing.
Oh, okay.
But how does something like that happen? And is that one of the more bizarre calls that you get as an actor out of the blue? Hey, come to Norway and be on this stage.
Well, actually, a buddy of mine who's a top professor at Harvard that I've known over the years, he had suggested to me over the years, you know, he said it's an event that I should see, and I basically what I do is host a big concert they have. But he said it's just something to see, and I said, all right, well, if they accept me, I'll go. And this year they accepted me, and, you know.
And what does it do for your credibility in your neighborhood when you're going to be on a stage with Barry Manilow in 2 weeks? Is that going to hurt you?
On there.
Oh, yeah. You're going to have to say, ladies and gentlemen, Barry Manilow, that's going to have to come out of your mouth.
Is somebody else going to be like this?
I think I think there is some other entertainment, but I just think that's going to be one of the most surreal moments of all time to see Denzel bringing on the guy who sings Mandy. It's just going to be awesome.
You should just say, this is a man who needs no introduction.
There you go.
Let him walk out.
Well, my mother was excited about it. She was like, yo, you're presenting the Nobel Peace Prize. I'm like, Ma, I'm not winning this.
Right. Well, do you know that for a fact? Because you stopped that train.
I think he does. I think
that's right. Wouldn't that be something?
Oh, he get an award for stopping the train.
Maybe
right.
Barry's getting it.
What's that?
Maybe Barry's getting it. Exactly. Yeah. Sure. What a thrill to have you on the program for the first time ever. We're such huge fans, but then you hear that all the time. The new film is in theaters now, directed by Tony Scott. It is called Unstoppable. Denzel Washington, as always, looks great in the movie. And thanks so much for spending some time with us today on the Kevin DeBean Show.
Thanks a lot. Thank
you. Hey, Ralph Garber with the Showbiz Beat. What's going on, man?
Well, before I get to the Showbiz news, I do have some passes to give away to our very special advanced screening of Black Swan. Erotic thriller with ballerinas.
Not enough
would
of those.
Be enough. Would be enough if that was just the description. What if I told you those ballerinas were Natalie Portman and Mila Kunis?
Jeez Louise.
All right.
Man. It's in select theaters everywhere Friday. Well, I guess it can't be in select theaters and be everywhere.
True.
By definition, it's just in smaller places.
It's also not Friday.
Friday, December 23rd. Thank you. I was getting to finish that sentence. But you'll get to see it December the 2nd before anybody else if you're the first caller at 1-800-520-1067. That's the lucky number. Be the lucky caller. You're going to see Black Swan.
Black Swan. Black Swan. White Swan. All we'll have next.
Oh, this is my favorite showbiz story of the day. Thanks to producer Alex for giving me the heads up to this one. A study has been made by social psychologists Stephen Stack and Jim Grundlach.
Sound like I said that.
His name is actually Grundlach. They have discovered that the more a city and its radio stations play country music, the higher the suicide rate.
Oh, my God.
Country music kills.
Wait a second.
This backs up Ralph's theory of country music from the beginning.
I'm told you, it's always been dangerous and horrible.
So the more country stations you have in a city, the more likely you are to have a higher suicide rate?
The study, encompassing 49 metropolitan areas, was careful to control factors like southernness, poverty, divorce, gun availability. In all words, all else being equal, country music makes people want to kill themselves.
Country music sucks.
Don't they just not listen to it?
I'm sorry, what now?
Don't they just not listen to it?
You mean people who are depressed?
Well, I'm saying, do you have to listen to country music?
Well,
if you're depressed, you do. Yes,
this is what they're telling you. The more a country, music is inundated into a metropolitan area, the more pervasive it is, the more saturated an area is with country music, the more country music stations, the more they play, the higher the suicide rate.
All right.
It so makes you kill yourself. That's how bad it is.
Is Nashville the suicide capital of the country?
Well, it doesn't say here which city won, but I would think so.
How about that?
And really, you know, when you think about it, it's got to be mostly southern cities, right?
Yeah.
Where people kill themselves.
No, I don't know why. There's country music stations all over the country. I mean, it's one of the most popular formats.
Yeah, but if you go to Austin, you're going to have more country music stations than you do here in Los Angeles, right?
Right.
Wouldn't you figure?
That's true. Yeah, that's true.
So, really, it's not bad news. when you think the majority of people who are killing themselves are southerners.
I live in
like
Seattle,
Florida,
Washington.
Texas, and that kind of area.
We have four country music stations in
Seattle. Well, I suggest you listen to them all the time. Put it on,
tune in
24/7, just listen to nothing else.
And
that's what I suggest.
Seattle one of the suicide capitals?
Yes. It is. Well, there you go.
That's interesting.
Yeah. And
informative.
And informative. And backs my play, yo.
Does. You've been saying that.
The people listening to the Kevin and Bean Show in Louisiana, Ralph doesn't mean what he just said.
Not Louisiana. When
are we in
South,
Louisiana?
Yeah. Baton Rouge. No, Baton Rouge is the exception.
Oh,
the
Baton
South
Rouge.
Side. Yeah.
No, the red baton? Oh, that's all different down there, I guarantee.
There you go.
Nicely done.
Interesting movie news. They are making The Great Gatsby again. Based,
I don't know
of course,
that movie.
Sorry, what happened?
I don't know that movie.
You're not familiar with the movie The Great Gatsby?
I know
familiar with the book The Great Gatsby.
I know the title.
Okay.
Of course,
you
read the book.
Got a, is it about a degree in English.
Yes, I did.
And you're not familiar with The Great Gatsby, one of the great American novels.
With a low A average, by the way. But an A, still the same.
F. Scott Fitzgerald, does that ring a bell?
Yeah,
that
all
name.
Of that. Those names ring bells.
There's some registering.
I know they exist and they're popular. I don't know what they are.
You're not familiar with The Great Gatsby, the book?
No.
That's
what's great about it.
We need to call your alma mater. Yes. Make a note next week. We're to call your alma mater.
It's in the South, by the way.
And talk to the head of their English department. Say, how dare you allow this man to graduate from your institution?
Play him some moments with Kevin.
Your so-called institution of higher learning.
How I bet we could get him to take it back.
We're going
to
play this break. We're going to talk about Jack Kerouac.
How dare you?
On the road. All of your many, many...
I am not well versed.
Gatsby,
so what's going on with the remake?
It was legendarily made with Robert Redford.
Yeah. Sure, Robert Redford. Yeah.
And Mia Farrow.
Yeah, of course.
This time, Leonardo DiCaprio.
Oh, I could see that.
We'll be starring as Jay Gatsby. Tobey Maguire will play the narrator of the book, Nick Carraway. And the coveted role of Daisy Buchanan, which has been battled over by all the hot young actresses in Hollywood, as going to... Mulligan, Carey Mulligan.
Oh, okay.
Yes, she will be playing Daisy Buchanan, so that's good news for those of us who like the book and
great book,
forward to
even that. Better movie.
Stop it. And lastly, they're remaking The Swarm. I don't know if you're familiar with The Swarm or not, but The Swarm came out in the 70s during the golden era of the disaster movies, when you had like Poseidon Adventure and Towering Inferno and Earthquake. This was the time of the disaster movie.
And they were bad, too.
Horrible
yet movies.
Star-studded.
Yes.
You couldn't afford to get the number of stars they would be able to put together in one of these movies. The airport movies and all these kind of disaster movies. You couldn't afford to make these movies today. You'd be surprised how many big, big movie stars are in them. Swarm starred Michael Caine. And it was about a swarm of killer bees who was coming to America to kill us all. Here, they're coming.
Wait.
In my opinion, it is the worst of all the horrible disaster movies.
That's saying something.
But they are remaking it, apparently. The producers behind The Ring and Paranormal Activity, apparently, are putting it together. So maybe there's life in the rebooted Swarm. Because the first one, you couldn't do any worse. That's all I'm saying. Here's been always my theory about remakes. Go ahead and remake movies, but remake the bad ones.
And make
the
them
ones
good.
That are horrible, yeah. And maybe had a kernel of an interesting idea in there or something. Take those and remake those movies. Don't remake The Wizard of Oz.
Right.
Focus on The Swarm.
But they don't take the original Wizard of Oz away.
But they don't do it any good either.
But I hate to agree with Kevin. Ralph,
wait, if you're agreeing with me, then I'm going to disagree with me.
I hate to agree with Kevin, but I have to say, and I know we're running late, but I have to say, no one out there is going to go see Robert Redford and Mia Farrow in The Great Gatsby today, okay?
That's true.
But if there is a new version with Leonardo DiCaprio and Carey Mulligan, people are going to go see it. So if it's a great story, why not introduce it to a new generation of
The Great Gatsby
wasn't
particularly a good movie version of that book, in my opinion.
At the time it was. It was beloved. But, I mean, I'm just saying, you're remaking a classic, but it's for a new generation. And
who
the
gives
old one
a damn?
Does still exist.
Ralph's definitely right, though, with more of the niche films. You know, there's no need to remake, like, The Karate Kid or the original Taking of Pelham.
That one. Good.
What's the Precinct one, the John Carpenter movie? The Assault on Precinct 13?
13, yeah, right.
There's no need to remake those movies because they fit like a niche. Everybody loved them. They were perfect the way they were. When you're talking about big name movies, I guess there's no harm in remaking it because, like Bean said, people will go see it.
But here's the thing, if Bean's saying no one's going to see The Great Gatsby, Robert Redford, Mia Farrow, well, that's their loss then.
Okay, so?
They're losing out on that movie.
I totally agree. I think they should see it, but they won't. Kevin's never going to rent that, but he might go see this Great Gatsby. He might go see this one because he likes Leonardo DiCaprio, and he may be turned on to a great story from a great writer.
Well, then let's remake Citizen Kane and Casablanca and all the great films.
Who gives a damn?
Because Kevin won't go see them.
Who gives a damn?
Let's make that the dividing line, whether we remake a movie or not, whether Kevin will go see it.
That's bullshit.
Kevin represents every moviegoer USA, though. I think you got to keep guys like him in mind.
Stop it. Well, then Kevin should start listening heavily to country music.
Come on!
All these people. That's my answer to the problem.
Oh, another good one. I don't know where you come up with them.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Larry King is 77 years old
Dallas,
today.
Texas, hello.
Ted Turner is 72 years old.
Brazil, Indiana, hello.
Allison Janney is 51 years old.
Boston, hello.
Matt Sorum of Velvet Revolver and Guns N' Roses is 50.
Fargo, North.
Whoops. I had
no time for the Dakota.
Nope, had to cut that out.
All right. Meg Ryan's 49.
Jacksonville, Illinois. Hello.
And Jodie Foster celebrates her 48th birthday today.
New York City. Hello.
Timing. I'm Ralph Garman.
Oh, professional. Look it up in the book.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk.
Mumford, Tennessee. Hello.
Walk the showbiz.
Antigonish, Nova Scotia. Hello.
Beat.
I don't like lollipops. Because to me, a lollipop is hard candy plus garbage. I like parties, but I don't like piñatas.
Because the pinata promotes violence against flamboyant animals.
I think the worst time to have a heart attack is during a game of charades. I like digital cameras because they enable you to reminisce immediately. Look at us. We're so young. Where does the minute go?
To me, swimming is a confusing sport. Because sometimes you do it for fun, but then other times you do it to not die. And when I'm swimming, sometimes I don't know which one it is. I gotta go by the outfit. Pants. Uh-oh.
I was on the train and I heard this guy say to his friend, "Man, I'm really good at checkers." Which is the same as saying, "Man, I'm not good at a lot of things."
Please welcome the very funny Dimitri Martin.
Yes, please welcome Mr. Dimitri Martin indeed, and go see him tomorrow night at the Wiltern, Los Angeles. Get your tickets through LiveNation.com, 6:30 p.m. What, do you have a curfew, Dimitri? How's the show starting at 6:30 in the afternoon? What's that about?
I didn't know it was starting at 6:30.
Is that 6:30?
That's what it says on the schedule here.
I hope that's not right.
Seem unlikely.
I like to create anticipation. The show's like at 10, but yeah,
You open the doors at 6:30 and everybody starts chanting at about 7:30.
Yeah. I think the show starts at 8.
8:30 they doze.
I don't know why they told me 6:30. I have no idea. But,
I do like hearing, thanks for that reel that you guys put together.
Sure.
I love that music under it. It was so tough. You know,
it was kind of ballsy.
Moving. Yeah, it was ballsy.
We look at that as preparing an obit reel for all of our guests. In the event that they die, we can have a package ready to go like they do with the news, you know?
Yeah.
And we like you a lot. We find you funny, but we decided to add some balls to you.
No, I appreciate it.
Yeah,
I think, even though I'm from Jersey, I still could use a little help.
Sure. Now, for folks who haven't seen a Dimitri Martin show, and by the way, that includes me. I know you better as an actor than I do as a comedian. But for folks who haven't been to your show, you're a triple threat. I mean, you have a bunch of different dimensions to what you do on stage. It's not just a guy telling jokes, I guess, is what I'm saying.
No, it's very threatening.
It is threatening in a lot of ways. Three ways. Name them.
When you bring a ukulele, I know you're serious about your comedy.
You know, I just like to try different things because when I go on the road, I might do 90 minutes or something and I can talk for 90 minutes. I mean, a lot of people can.
Right, but no one would pay to see me talk for 90 minutes. That's the difference.
And maybe even for me, so that's why I have to put, you know, I mess around with it a little bit. Yeah, I'll play instruments, and there's some little drawings, and talk to the audience. You know, try to mix it up.
When you're coming up in comedy before you're Hollywood's Dimitri Martin, and you decide... Whatever. I'm just saying
Hollywood Florida's Dimitri Martin.
Right. What I'm saying is he's an established comedian now with a brand name and people know he's funny. Right. But I'm saying there was a time before you were all of that where you were just this kid who nobody could pronounce his first name and you were trying to get going. When you decide to start incorporating drawings into the act, is that a little daunting? Is that tough for the early audiences to get into? Are they thinking, you know, what the F's up with this guy?
Yeah, you know, I realized at some point that I tend to look a little younger than my age. Which is a nice thing in some ways, but it definitely is a challenge, I think, when you're on stage or you're doing a comedy club and people don't know who you are or whatever, and they're like, "Who's this kid? You know, who's this boy up here?" And then when you add like drawings or a small guitar or something to it, people just want to beat you up. They're just like,
"I've never been beaten up at a show.
I've not yet been beaten up at a show, but
do you get hecklers?"
A little bit. I don't get heckled that often, but I've performed in different countries and. They're kind of different cultural norms, I guess. So in Scotland, I got heckled quite a bit.
All right. And you don't fight back with people in Scotland, right? Because they'll beat you up.
No, you know, it depends on the distance. You just do math really quickly and say, what can I say, and then how quickly can I get away? But yeah, coming up, the first Comedy Central special I did, I saw my friends tape their specials. You'd go to the taping and say, oh, cool, there's his jokes, and that's his closer. Yeah, he's closing with his best joke, you know, that does the best and everything.
Yeah,
and then I'd see it on TV, and then some editor had taken it and taken the guy's last joke and put it like in the middle and made it as a kind of lead into a commercial break or something, and they put an applause break after this one, took the ending off of that joke.
Wow, that seems bad.
Yeah, so I said, when they asked me if I wanted to do a special, I thought, yeah, that'd be great. And then I thought, how could I structure it so that it would be really hard to edit it? And so I put my drawings, they're hard to edit, and if you play a guitar while you talk... It's really hard for an editor.
It's a lot harder to edit.
It's a lot harder to edit. You got to find a break in the music and a break in the joke. So I was just meticulous about how I timed each little segment. And then sure enough, when it aired, it was pretty much the way I did it live. So
that's
I got to
really
control
it. Smart. Yeah.
So at some point, you stopped caring about the audience in front of you and just started thinking how you could screw with the guy in the editing bay at Comedy Central.
It's all puzzles, man. It's all puzzles.
The show is at the Wiltern. That's a pretty big room for comedy.
Yeah, I'm excited to be in there. It's a very high ceiling. I went and saw a show there recently.
Yeah, it is. It's huge.
I saw Fran Healy and Brandon Flowers there a week ago. I don't know. Mm-hmm. It was cool. And I saw Devendra Banhart there once. It was a cool room, but, man, that is a high ceiling.
When you sit there and you look up there, you go, this is a big room to do comedy in.
That's a big room.
My ukulele.
My rule for comedy is however bad a room is in a fire, that's how good it is for comedy.
Okay.
So the worse it is in a fire, better for comedy. So flip side, if it's really good in a fire, then
this seems like it's a good place for a fire.
That, yeah, except the high ceiling.
Oh yeah, oh true.
I don't know. So that's, I was true, worried there's some like clearance in there. What's better is, okay, like a little basement that's a lot of wood.
So you want
can't
them to
get out?
Would you like them to lower the roof? Are you going to ask them, yeah, to lower the roof by Saturday?
We're going to just put tinder and
okay, good.
That's a word, right?
Yep. It is. Tinder's a word. Yes.
I never use that word.
We have given this some thought. I have thought that. All right.
I don't want to burn people, by the way. That's not the goal. It's just the potential.
Sure, of course.
Of course. Absolutely.
Just on their toes.
You want that threat. That's part of what makes Dimitri Martin so dangerous.
That's right.
You can go to livenation.com and get tickets to see Mr. Martin at the Wiltern tomorrow night. More with our guest right after this on the Kevin and Bean. Pau Gasol from the Los Angeles Lakers joins us in about 10 minutes or so right here on the Kevin and Bean Show. What are they, 10 and 2? Is that where they're at right now, Mike?
Sounds right.
If not, 10 and 2, yeah. Talk to Pau coming up here. In the meantime, if you've ever wondered what Justin Bieber is going to look like when he grows up, oh, Dimitri Martin is here in studio.
Wow, very ethnic Bieber.
Ooh, Ethnic Bieber is a great band name. I like it.
Ethnic Bieber, yeah. I kind of look like Blossom mixed with Justin Bieber.
All right. I can see a little bit of that as well, yeah.
Ladies.
I applaud a grown man with your hairstyle, Dimitri. I just want to say, I'm not mocking. I mean, I love it. Kevin will vouch. I've had that hairstyle from time to time, and I love it.
But you look like a complete doofus.
I do. When I do that hairstyle, I think it makes me look like Paul McCartney, 1964, but in fact, it just makes me look like a weird predator. Yeah. I don't know. It just doesn't work.
Chris Hansen should be talking to you.
Dimitri Martin is here. He's going to be appearing at the Wiltern tomorrow night. You can get tickets through livenation.com.
Apparently it starts at 4:30. I just got this up there. 4:30.
Early bird. It's an early bird special.
In the afternoon.
Are important things with Dimitri Martin still occurring regularly on Comedy Central? Is that ongoing?
Only reruns. Now it's just private important things in my life. The show's
done. You've been fired.
I've been fired, yes.
But they don't stop running it.
They keep it running.
I like that about them.
My trick is I make generic comedy that you can air later. So it still works.
When you're not needed.
Timeless.
It's not timeful.
But when I tune in and it's like, hey, how about that President Reagan? Some of that stuff to me just seems a little bit dated. I don't know.
It goes fast.
You're a really good actor, Dimitri. And I mentioned a few minutes ago that's – I loved you so much in Taking Woodstock and in Paper Heart, too. Is this true, what I just found online, that you were going to be in the Soderbergh Contagion movie? Are you really part of that?
Yeah. I got to do – I only have a few lines, but it was really cool. I got to go to Chicago and I played a scientist.
Okay. A scientist.
Yeah.
A 12-year-old scientist.
Since none of us have heard of this movie, get ready to be blown away, kids.
All right.
Who else is in Dimitri Martin's Contagion?
Yes. Okay. Supporting me.
Yes.
With bigger roles. Kate Winslet, Gwyneth Paltrow, Matt Damon, Jude Law.
Come on.
Wow. Yeah, it's crazy. I'm missing people, too.
Lawrence Fishburne, Bryan Cranston, Marion Cotillard.
Oh, Elliot Gould.
God.
What? I mean,
Elliot
come
Gould
on.
I saw him on the set.
Do you look around and go, who doesn't fit?
One of these is not like the others.
Bieber Blossom.
you're playing a scientist in a movie called Contagion. Is it the kind – I mean, that title makes it sound like it's some sort of a, you know, bird vehicle.
It was cool. It's a thriller from what I understand.
You don't know?
I know, but I only saw it on paper. So I don't – you know, the magic of movies. I think it'll be thrilling once it's brought to life. But yes, it's –
Did you play a ukulele so that they couldn't cut you out?
I played a science ukulele.
Okay, good.
That's a terrible
Never heard
improv.
Of that. No.
Just strike that from the record. Okay.
We'll edit that before we go on the air.
I'll tell you what was cool about it was that I got to wear this one of those kind of hazmat suits. I got to wear a real full body. I forget. It's a BSL-4 suit. It's called. It's got an air hose that goes into it, so it's sealed. Because they work with viruses and chemicals that are so dangerous that no air is allowed to get in. You have to put it on in a special chamber and stuff. So there are hoses from the ceiling that you have to plug into the suit. And when you want to walk from here to, say, 15 feet away, you have to unhook your hose and then walk over to the next hose and hook it up. But if you wait too long, you'll faint. You'll just pass out.
Wow.
There's no air in the suit.
What if you have to pee? Then what?
Sometimes it depends. I met with a scientist.
What? Did you say?
Yeah, they have to wear diapers if you're going to work all day. You cannot wear diapers, but then you're going to have to get out of the suit, wash down, do this whole thing, go pee, come back. So people sometimes just wear diapers.
Just wear diapers.
Yeah. science.
And that's a real thing. That's cool.
Yeah, it was cool. I only have a couple lines. I worked for like 2 days, but
you should wear
those
on stage.
Really cool.
It would blow people's minds.
Like, man, how, I'm still going.
How actively are you pursuing the acting side? Is it as much of a passion of yours as comedy, or is it just something you do on the side for fun, or what?
I'm psyched that I got to be in that Woodstock movie, and I was really psyched to get to work with Steven Soderbergh. So when I get things like that, I'm like, oh, this is great. I'd love to do this again. But I really love stand-up comedy. You know, I kind of came into it to do stand-up. I'd like to do both, and I'm trying to write movies so that I could write parts that I'll be good in. So I don't have to worry if they're like, oh, cry now. It's like, oh, no.
I can't do that.
I just sulk. I think I can nail this if I sulk, you know. So I can just write a part where I sulk or something, and then they'll be like, wow, this guy's good.
Sulky is the name of the movie.
Sulky Beaver.
The Wiltern is on Wilshire Boulevard in downtown Los Angeles. Tomorrow night you can see Dimitri Martin on stage. By the way, do you have opening acts? Are there other people supporting you tomorrow?
Yes. Marianne Cotillard. Oh. Matt Damon.
Didn't know they all did comedy.
No, I have my friend Levi McDougall is going to open for me. He's a really funny comedian. He wrote on the Comedy Central show that I had.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And he's from Canada. So that's also... You know,
Canadians are
draw.
Funny just by
yeah,
nature, I
that's
think.
That's a draw.
Look at the hilarious Ryan Gosling. I mean, I can't get enough of that dude.
The show is super high energy, really exciting, thrilling. Totally going to fill the room.
Sure.
That is going to be tomorrow night. Go to livenation.com and keep up with everything going on in Dimitri's little world at dimitrimartin.com. Although the website seems to be under renovation right now, but
yes,
it looks like news, good stuff coming
soon. I haven't
changed
my website except for the front page in 7 years, but big news, I'm going to have a new website, and I'm going to start doing Twitter, so that's I'm going to really change everything now.
You are. Yeah.
That's a game changer right there.
That's right.
There's a man who's committed to his craft right there.
I'm going to tweet
why so
out.
Soon?
Yeah.
Dimitri, awesome to have you in between Denzel Washington and Pau Gasol. I feel like this is a sandwich, a Dimitri Martin sandwich. I don't know. But thank you for coming in, man. We've really enjoyed it.
Thank you.
To Lakerland. He had to come across the globe to become an NBA player.
Pau Gasol. Defensive assignment, but he can't stop the sledgehammer. Front down by Pau Gasol.
You were in medical school when you came to the NBA, which I don't think has normally, it's not the usual route for NBA players. Even Dr. J was not actually a doctor.
If you just see the speed of the Lakers out in the open court, Ramadovich, and there is Gasol, their big man running the floor.
Gasol with a no-look assist. Pau Gasol.
We have a wonderful team and have a great opportunity to make and accomplish something really special.
The Lakers repeat back-to-back titles. The LA Lakers, the 2010 NBA champions.
Please welcome Pau Gasol.
Yeah, from the world champion Los Angeles Lakers, number 16, Pau Gasol joins us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. How are you, Pau?
I'm doing very well. How are you doing, guys?
Good, thank you.
Doing great. Thanks so much for joining us. And by the way, let me say first off, congratulations on being on the NBA All-Star ballot, I guess, just revealed yesterday. I think there's, six Lakers on the ballot this year? Congratulations. That's awesome.
Thank you. It is awesome. Thank you.
tell us about the Lakers season so far. You've had to carry a little extra weight since Andrew Bynum isn't going to be back for, I don't know, 10 months, however long he's going to be out. It must be frustrating to have to play a lot of minutes.
Well, to me, it's fun. Obviously, it's not the most ideal thing at this point of the season, but you know, I love to play. I love to be out there, and but also, you know, love having Andrew back with us, which will mean, you know, we'll get more extra minutes of rest because we're going to have a great big man out there with us. So we look forward to that.
What's the difference at the end of the season? You can really, really tell, like, when you're going into the playoffs, if you had a particularly busy preseason and early season. It seems like you try to get your stars to rest as much as you can throughout the season, even.
Well, you try to, you don't want to get to the end of the season too fatigued and with the problems physically. So you try to prevent that from happening by not being out there those extra minutes. So that's basically it.
Can you feel a real difference at the end of the night, whether you've played 29 minutes or 38 minutes? I mean, can you really, really feel the difference?
Yeah, you can feel the difference between, you would say, between 35 and 45. There's a big difference. So on a nightly basis, I mean, one or two nights, you know, there's no problem. But when it becomes, you know, on a four games, on six nights kind of thing, and you averaging over 40 minutes, I mean, you can tell the difference at the end of the week.
Sure. Let's face it, for many, many years, the Lakers have been if they haven't won the championship, they've certainly been in contention for it. But now that you're, you know, back-to-back champs, I imagine every single city you get to, that's all they care about is beating the Lakers. I mean, that's the highlight of their season in some cities if they can beat the Lakers. You see the best every night that the NBA has to offer when you go into a town. That's just got to make it even harder to repeat.
It does. It does. But at the same time, it makes it more fun and more challenging. And we try to enjoy that factor because we're getting pushed to play our best pretty much every night, and we have to step up and do it. So you just can't relax, otherwise you'll pay the price.
Phil Jackson is not an active coach during the game, it doesn't seem. Like, he'll call a timeout, and you guys will all huddle up and talk, and he'll just wander around and kind of make notes. And I'm like, hey, dude, how about talking to your team a little bit?
Yeah, he's a little different with that. I think he gathers with his coaching staff and puts his thoughts together.
I think they're talking about where they're going to dinner, dude.
Yeah, he might. I don't know. I'm not into that huddle, so I'm talking to my teammates.
Were you guys in the off season just terrified before it was revealed that Coach was going to be coming back?
Well, no. We were just hopeful that Coach Jackson wanted to come back and for another year, and hopefully he'll stay with us. And but obviously, you know, he's been around for a while, and first thing is the health issue. Sure. So he's got to make sure he takes care of himself. Now the NBA season is very demanding, also for our coaches. There's a lot of traveling, a lot of crazy hours. So you know, he's gets to a point that you have to make a decision.
Right. I guess I'm just thinking in terms of when you've got something that works so effectively that you win the way you guys do, you don't want to break off any of the pieces. You know what I mean? Just come back intact and be healthy. You know, I guess that's the goal. And so far, my God, what a season you guys are having. You know, Coach Jackson, I think it was just this week, maybe even yesterday, was talking about how he wants to see you, Powell, get a little bit more aggressive. He says sometimes he thinks you're too nice a guy. What's he talking about there?
Well, he said he wants me to establish myself as a physical presence more during games, and obviously I get guys, try to be extra physical with me just because of my talent and my ability to score out there on the floor. So they try to do whatever they can to stop me, and he wants me to, hit first kind of thing, and make sure I make myself respect out there. If the referees are not gonna call certain things, you know, I just got to make myself a presence and make sure they feel me.
Right. When you run into a Clippers, and sometimes you do in the course of your job, do you feel sorry for them?
Well, they have a young team. It's a different kind of team. It also a little different kind of organization. So
different owner.
I feel sorry for them. I know.
I just picture them grabbing your leg and saying, please take me with you. Please let me come over there. I know it doesn't work that way, but I can't imagine what it must be like for them when they see you guys walk in. That's all. It's just the fact that you share a room sometimes, it's got to bum them out. That's all.
Yeah, we don't cross paths much often unless we play against each other at Staples. So we have different practice facilities. I basically haven't seen or run into a Clipper pretty much ever since I've been in LA.
Wow, so, wow. What a surprise that is.
Are they
You're
forced
like most
to hide
Los Angelinos then?
They're forced to hide from you.
I don't know why.
If you see Pau Gasol coming, you got to duck under the bleachers.
They must live in a different part of the town. I don't know.
Pau, finally, we're kind of running out of time. I'm sorry, but Pau Gasol, Los Angeles Laker, number 16, of course. What is Coach Jackson saying, and what are you guys talking about with Miami? They obviously are going to gel at some point, you would guess, right, and make a run far into the playoffs. What's the common wisdom?
Sure. Well, obviously they got a great talented team, great players, and they're still trying to figure out how to get to their best level. So they're still trying to gel and work things out. So, but I think they're going to be really good. They're going to be a contender, and we're going to have to watch out because they're. They could be really dangerous. So, it's still early in the year. What matters and counts is what's going to come down at the end of the year.
And day to day and even week to week, I bet you don't have much time to worry about, especially teams out of your conference. I mean, at this point, how much attention can you be paying to Miami and Boston? I mean, you've got to focus on who you're playing tomorrow night, right?
Absolutely. It can't get away from that. And, obviously you take a look at other teams, how they're doing. Teams are getting hot. Teams are... you know, there could be a potential threat. But at the same time, you just worry about your own thing and your opponents and your own team and how to get better on a daily basis.
Lakers are playing Minnesota this afternoon and Golden State on Sunday. It's been a phenomenal season so far. We got our fingers crossed. It keeps on going, pal. And it's great to have you on the Kevin Amin Show, man. We really enjoy talking to you.
Well, thank you. Likewise.
3 hours from right now, you get to buy tickets for the 21st annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas.
Yeah!
Night number two. Go to krock.com for all the details. It is 8:57.
It is Friday on the Kevin and Bean Show. That means Adam Carolla this week in Rage. Coming up after the top of the hour right now, Ralph has the showbiz beat on a Friday. What's happening?
Before I get to the showbiz news, I do want to give away some passes to the very special advanced screening we've got going of Black Swan on Thursday, December the 2nd. Oh, yeah. Black Swan starring Mila Kunis, Natalie Portman.
Ooh. Mm-hmm.
Ooh. Erotic adventures of ballerinas.
Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about.
They kill people, don't care.
You know what the only problem is? Their toes are gnarly.
They are, dude.
Ballerinas have gnarly feet.
It's true.
Yeah. I'm standing on them all the time.
It's all right, though.
But the rest of them, solid.
You don't look at their toes much.
Yeah. It's in theaters, select theaters, on Friday, December the 3rd. But if you'd like to see it for anybody else, I know I would. Be the lucky caller that gets through right now at 1-800-520-1067. First caller that gets through wins a pair of passes to our special advanced screening of Black Swan. Speaking of dancing, have you seen that clip I sent you earlier from the Argentinian dance competition show?
Yep. No.
That was on television. That was a TV show.
F you, America. F you, America, indeed.
Step it up, America. That's our new segment we talk about. Step it up. Not in 3D either. Just step it up, because they are kicking our ass on international television. It's a dance competition, Kevin. Much like So You Think You Can Dance or America's Next Best Dance Crew or whatever. So this couple gets out there and they do a dance, and it's basically just the nastiest striptease lap dance sequence you've ever seen in your life, which ends with a guy mauling her naked breasts on top of a desk. That's how the dance combo ends.
Wow, they win.
They do win.
I think it's Dancing with the Stars. I think it's been tapped as that,
but that's not really what it's called. It's a dance competition show, but I don't believe it's like they're Dancing with the Stars.
It is amazing that they allow that kind of nudity in almost every country in the world except for ours, and their people are fine.
They're better than fine.
Cause rape in the streets.
Look at her. She's better than fine, my friend.
She's spectacular.
She's all that. Speaking of hot chicks, keep in mind, ladies, the deadline...
Sorry, still watching the Argentinian video.
Well, watch it quietly while I speak.
Back to you.
The deadline is fast approaching for the end of entries for Miss Double December. Monday, at the end of the show, will be the close of that entry window. So if you'd like to enter Miss Double December this year, would you like to be one of the 10 finalists that will be competing at the Miss Double December pageant we'll be having on December the 3rd, I want to say?
That's right.
Enter now. We need two high-quality pictures of yourself. We need you to fill out the questionnaire and send it on in. And then you may be one of the 10 finalists who will end up at the competition. It'll be great. If you win, you get to spend the entire year with us at all our live events and stuff, and it's a lot of fun. So
you don't have to. Let's say you don't like us, for example.
Go to kevinandbean.com if you'd like to enter. And good things will happen.
Mm-hmm. When you say you get to spend the entire year with Kevin and Bean, you make it sound like a death sentence. You really do. That's not a draw for
what
most
he
people.
Means
you,
is,
you get to go to all of
the
cool
events.
You get to
spend the year with me and Psycho Mike. How about that?
Yes.
That's better.
And the cool events.
Yes. You get to do all the concerts, all the live broadcasts, all the live shows.
That's the draw.
All the single parties, all the stuff that we do all year long. It's so much fun. You get to be there as well.
April Foolishness.
Yeah. It's good stuff.
Weenie Roast, look at this.
Speaking of good stuff, I want to give a shout-out to our buddy Charles, our security guard, Charles. He was entered this past weekend, in the Louisiana Music Hall of Fame.
Oh, how about that?
How about that? Charles, of course, was the drummer for Little Richard, one of the inventors of rock and roll. He's been in the music industry for a long, long time, a native of Louisiana, and they honored him and put him in the Hall of Fame this weekend.
He's the best.
I want to give him a big shout-out, Charles Connors. He's a good man and well-deserved. I know someone who won't be ending up in the Music Hall of Fame. Anywhere.
Justin Bieber.
Angelina Pavarnik.
Oh, are you kidding? She's a shoo-in.
Angelina from Jersey Shore has her new single that was released on the internet today. I found it on HollywoodLife.com. Here's what I got to say. She's not even the most interesting person on Jersey Shore. She's not even the least interesting. She's negligible. She barely made an indent on that show.
Yeah.
And yet, for some reason, she thinks she's got a rap career, a dance music career ahead of her.
She makes Heidi Montag look like she has talent.
I've rarely heard a song this horrible.
Yeah, me either.
That wasn't done in someone's basement by a 12-year-old.
It sounds like it's somebody making... It's got to be a parody making fun of bad rappers.
It's not.
And one of the reasons she always did get hated by the people in the cast is that she insisted she was the hottest and the best in the immediately.
She said she was the Kim Kardashian of Long Island. She was sexy beyond belief. Everybody wanted to be with her. All the girls were jealous. That was her take. And no one could be wronger or more wrong.
Either way.
She is hideous.
Yeah.
And at least she's got the talent to back it up.
Song is good.
So I thought I'd play you just a little taste of... it's a duet with another guy who's sort of her hype man. This is her latest single. I'm not kidding. This is real. It's called I'm Hot.
Angelina turns it on. Party till the break of dawn. All the freaking light shines strong. Blast the music all night long.
Had enough.
Honestly, that's like a second grader.
It's just find me things that rhyme with ot.
Yeah. Wow, that's bad.
You know, take a shot. It hits the spot. I have a lot. I like a shot. Shot.
Lot
of hot. And I've got. And it's hot.
Whole pot.
Guys, we came out when Willow Smith, 9-year-old Willow Smith, came out with Whip My Hair. We came on and we said, stop it, America. Don't let this happen. And we were ignored.
And now
it's an enormous, enormous hit record. The same thing's going to happen for Angelina if good people don't step up and say, stop it, America. People this cannot continue.
I don't think the suckers in America will fall for this travesty.
Have you seen Ryan Seacrest's audience? They will listen to like a freaking G6, okay?
I think we're safe with this one.
All right.
Stop it, America!
Please.
Today's celebrity birthday is Jodie Foster's 50. Nope, she's 48 years old today. Actress Meg Ryan turns 49. Drummer Matt Sorum of Velvet Revolver and Guns N' Roses is 50. Allison Janney's 51. Media mogul Ted Turner is 72. Speaking of Ted Turner.
Yeah.
Turner Classic Movies. Do you know that cable channel?
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
They've been running a documentary series on that show. I think it's like a third episode in this week, called Moguls and Movie Stars. It's the history of Hollywood. It's from the onset of silent films all the way up through the 70s. The entire history of Hollywood and movie making. Brilliant, brilliant television. If you're a movie geek like I am, you will really enjoy it. So check that out if you can.
Stop it, America!
72 years old today. Larry King is 77 years old today.
Are you gay?
Well, no.
Good question.
You're old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Hey, party people, thanks for tuning into the Kevin and Bean Show. If you happen to be listening to us on our favorite affiliate, The Heat, in Palm Springs, you should know that our next guest, Adam Carolla, has his Christmas Carolla live show happening at your McCallum Theater on December the 1st. Get your tickets and information at adamcarolla.com. That's where you find the podcast, and he joins us every Friday for This Week in Rage.
It's time for This Week
in Rage.
Yeah, get it on.
Get it on, Ace Man.
I got a cold and I'm in San Jose. What could be better?
Oh, good times.
Yeah. Good combination, Adam.
And Bean, you'll appreciate this. I just got back from doing Greg Kinn's radio show.
Oh, how was that? Was that fun?
It was good, but, you know, if Kevin Weatherly, your program director, was smart, he would go out and film his studio in his strip mall in San Jose, and then when it came time for your contracts to be renegotiated, he would say, play, and then he would say, you want to end up like this? Take what's on the table.
Greg Kidd, for folks who don't know,
yeah,
he was the guy in the 80s who sang the song Jeopardy and the breakup song, and he had some hits back in the 80s. He's a DJ now. Now he's reduced to interviewing a guy who does a podcast. That's what happened to Greg
so
Kidd. That's where his career
that's
is.
That's what we're doing.
Yeah. Oh, how the mighty have fallen.
Well, do you have plenty to be raging against today?
Yes, I do. First off, so we'll start with three and we'll work our way down to number one. I have a cold, and I don't know what happened, and I don't believe this used to work this way, but every single person I speak to where I go, I have a cold, they first they want to know where I got it.
Right.
By the way, what how's that going to work? Well, I think I got it from one of my kids who got it from one of their friends at school, so I'm going to burn the school down. Like, what do you want me to do, put a hit on my own kid?
Well, like you don't, like you know even.
For that matter. That's the other one. Where'd you get it? Well, yeah, I know. I've been on airplanes, airports, buses. I've been all over the country. How the hell do I know? I mean, it's like magic with the AIDS. Well, you think he knows? You don't know. He's got it. He got it. God cured him. By the way, how pissed does Magic's doctors have to be every time he does a press conference? He's like, well, God cured me. There's got to be some Indian guy in the corner going, whoa, wait a minute. Hold on. What about me? But I don't know where I got it,
okay.
Number one. And don't care to hear about the last time you were sick, because that's the next one they give you. Oh, yeah, I had the same thing 4 months back. Don't care. Not interested. And by the way, do not steal my cold thunder. I'm sick. Let me have some sympathy. I don't want to hear how yours was 10 times as bad 2 weeks ago.
It's your time. I got you.
It's my time. And by the way, would you do that at a graduation? Hey, I'm going to go to the kids' graduation. And let me tell you about when I graduated. I'd love to shoot hoop with this guy. Hey, I just made a three-pointer. You know, I made a three-pointer once upon a time. Shut up. I'm sick. Let me have my moment in the mucus. Would you please?
All right. I can understand that.
All right. Number two, the wife. I was in New York promoting the book last week or the week before, and my wife wanted these horrible hoop earrings, you know, the big fat hoop earrings that they wear on the Jersey Shore.
Sure.
Yeah.
So I dispatched my gay publicist to go find her a pair of these things because I was too busy out doing press and God knows what else. And then when I got home, I just presented them. I set them on the counter, and she walked past them, and she's like, well, who are those for? And I said, well, those are for you. And she said, really? And I said, yeah, well, you wanted hoop earrings, didn't you? And she said, yeah. And I said, well, I had the gay publicist go out and get you hoop earrings. And she was like, oh, well, that's awesome. And I thought, really? How much does presentation count? And by the way, why can't you just take the goddamn hoop earrings? And then thirdly, if I said to you, let's say I wanted an orbital sander, would I be pissed because it was laid out and there was no card attached to it or a teddy bear taped to it? I would just want what I wanted, and if
right.
you got it for me, I'd be happy.
Then you'd know where it came from, and you'd say thank you.
What is it with the chicks in the presentation?
And by it's
the
way, jewelry.
But here's the thing, Tammy. It makes me think, I don't think you want anything anymore. You just want to see us burn calories. You don't want hoop earrings. You want us to jump through hoops getting you hoop earrings.
She just wants to see if she can get you to do it.
We want you to show us how much you appreciate
but
us.
But does sending your publicist out do that? Does
well,
that do the trick?
That's the problem. If he'd either gotten them himself or included a card,
how
then
dare
he's
you.
Made
us. Adam,
right.
You should just lie. You should have just said, I got him.
My wife knows there's no way when I was in New York, I went out and got her hoop earrings.
All right.
And
wow.
That's what I told her. I could have lied and said I made these from parts of the airplane on the flight back, but instead, I sent the gays out to do my bidding. Now, here's your hoop earrings. Everyone's happy,
Adam,
right?
Adam, would a card have killed you?
Oh, come on, Lisa.
Stop it.
A little
Tammy.
Card, that's all she wanted.
Adam, you're dead on.
But here's the deal. Then, ladies, don't say, I want hoop earrings. Say, I want you to burn a bunch of calories on some junk that I don't really want, in which case I will gladly do that. But don't say you want the thing, because when guys say we want this, whether it's oral sex or a cordless drill, that's what we're talking about.
They don't care about the presentation so much.
Exactly.
I don't care if you wrestled it away from the retarded neighbor kid and brought it over to my house or fell off the back of a truck. And I'm talking about the oral sex at this point. I don't care. I want what I wanted. That's it.
All right.
Jesus Christ, ladies, with your confusing messages. And number one, had to speaking of the family, was told I had to take my kid on a field trip, the little fourth graders, and they're going into kindergarten or whatever it is, and I had to take them on a field trip. But now they do these field trips. Kevin, did you get sucked into any of these things?
Rico? No, I was able to avoid.
You go, like, when is the field trip? And they go, it's Wednesday from 10 a.m. to 1 o'clock. And
yep.
You go, well, isn't that when most people who have jobs work? And they go, come on, don't you love your kids? Could you imagine our dads going out in the middle of the week, in the middle of the day for some goofy nature hike? And why is this expected? And then, as I walked around, I was eyeballing the other dads, and I realized if you're on a field trip in the middle of the day, in the middle of the week with your kid, you're either a winner or unemployable. There's no in-between.
Yeah.
You either arrive or this is the worst life ever. But there's
right.
No in-between, and I was trying to size up the dads to try to figure out if they were winners or losers. But either way, ladies, whether it's the hoop earrings or the field trips that you schedule for the middle of the day or the middle of the week, or guys, free us up to make money to buy you gifts that you don't really want. Please.
As always, ladies and gentlemen, Adam Carolla is right. Don't miss his book in stores and available online now called In 50 Years We'll All Be Chicks. It's like 200 pages of what you've been listening to for the past 5 minutes, and you will love it, I guarantee it. And all the details on live appearances and podcasts at adamcarolla.com. Get well soon, man, although I had a cold once that was a lot worse. Thanks, Adam.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it is 9:44.
A lot of yelling going on. What's happening?
Just a lot. Just
okay.
A lot. That's all.
Ralph, you can tell the show gets pretty ragged by the end of Friday. It just
Friday
falls off in quality. It starts declining in quality Wednesday, and then Thursday far
Wednesday.
More steeply. And then by Friday, it's usually pretty crappy.
Yeah. Ralph, Tuesday we start going downhill. And Wednesday,
Monday, like 8:15. That's usually when I see it starting to slip.
Really?
We do our best, but what are you going to do?
One more showbiz beat to try to salvage the whole week, though.
Nope.
Here's Ralph Garman.
Nope. No such luck.
Before I get to the showbiz news, I want to give away my final pair of passes to the very special Kevin and Bean advanced screening of Black Swan. You get to see it on Thursday, December the 2nd. The movie is in select theaters on Friday, December the 3rd. This is Mila Kunis, Natalie Portman, and it's an erotic thriller featuring smoking hot ballerinas.
Yeah.
That's all you need, right?
I heard erotic thriller and ballerinas, and I was like, And then you said the names. I was like, yes, please, right now.
Ballerinas' bodies are insane. They're like greyhounds. They're like highly honed athletes. They're just ridiculous.
But greyhounds, I mean.
Well, they're not actually like greyhounds. Right, I'm just saying they're strong and lean like greyhounds.
But we do.
They don't chase mechanical rabbits right on a track.
I didn't know what you were talking about.
That's what you mean.
All
no.
Right.
But we do put them down when they're done dancing, right?
Yeah, well,
that's
you
correct.
Should. They break a leg. They're no good to us anymore. You know what I'm saying? Call them now. 1-800-520-1067. That's the number to call. First caller that gets through, the lucky caller gets a pair of passes. That's the way that works. I also want to clear up a little confusion. I've been getting a bunch of emails today. I mentioned yesterday that the show that Kevin Smith and I do, Hollywood Babylon, the live show and podcast that we do, is moving. And a lot of people think I said somehow that it was ending, that we're not doing it, we're closing the show. And
you're
we're not.
You're closing it?
No, that's the
you're
point.
You're not doing
the point
it
is
anymore?
We're not closing it.
What? Babylon?
We were doing it at the Smod Castle, Kevin's theater there in Santa Monica.
But why did it get canceled?
It's not canceled.
Oh.
It's it's very successful, and we're really pleased about that. So we're moving it to a larger location so more people can come to see it.
Oh.
So we're moving it to the John Lovitz Comedy Club up at Universal City Walk, up there at Universal Studios, every Friday, starting the Friday after Thanksgiving.
So John Lovitz has replaced you
Hollywood
Babylon.
You're adding to the confusion.
I'm sorry.
It is me and Kevin Smith doing Hollywood Babylon at John Lovitz Comedy Club, Fridays at 8 o'clock, every Friday starting the Friday after Thanksgiving.
Is it TGI Fridays?
It's not a TGI Fridays. Yeah, we do it on a Friday night. So every Friday at 8 o'clock is when we'll be doing it. At that location.
All right.
You can go to the John Lovitz Comedy Club to buy tickets. But it's going to be cool because it's more room. There's booze being served there, which
is
better.
That's nice.
And they're also working out a deal where for valet parking, it's just $7. And sometimes the parking situation, Universal, can be a little pricey sometimes,
sure.
You know. But for $7, you can valet park your car. So it's a good deal.
Well, I'm sorry to hear it ended because I really enjoyed
it. It hasn't ended. That's what I'm trying to clear up. I'm trying to correct
that. It was a lot of fun while it
is still a lot of fun. You know? It's happening on Fridays at 8 o'clock.
It was a moment in time, but it was a good moment in time.
City walk.
You know what I mean?
We're not Valley Parking the cars. Someone else will be doing that. I'm just saying, don't be scared by the idea of paying a lot for parking at Universal. It's only $7 for Valley
Park. So just show up at the Smod Castle tonight and get in and you'll be happy.
No, there's no Smod Castle tonight. Tomorrow's our last show at the Smod Castle, but that's a completely different story.
I've lost it. I don't get it.
We're not all lost. That's ridiculous. That show's canceled. Why would we even think about appearing on that? All right. I am angry at VH1.
Okay. Over what?
There is a special that's going to air on that channel called VH1 Divas Salute the Troops, where all the girls perform for the troops, which is a good cause.
Yeah.
It's Sugarland's Jennifer Nettles, Kerry Hilson, Haley Williams of Paramore.
Yeah.
Nicki Minaj.
Yeah.
And Katy Perry.
All right. Ooh.
That's a delicious lineup.
Sure.
And they've got posters now to promote this fact. And all the girls are dressed up a la 1940s pinup girls. You know, they're in little cute little outfits and they're posing on planes and that kind of stuff. You know, it's the USO troops kind of theme.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. They have reduced the size of Katy Perry's breasts on the poster.
What? They photoshopped them down?
They photoshopped them down.
What? So the other girls wouldn't
No, because VH1 thought her breasts looked too big in the photographs. So they airbrushed her boobs down. They reduced the size of her boobs.
You can't put on a show for the troops at the same time you're hating America, VH1.
Those soldiers need boobs more than anything else.
Yeah.
More than body armor, more than weapons, more than safety, more than God, more than country. What those poor bastards need in Afghanistan and Iraq are large, giant boobs.
Well, they're going to get them. They're not doing it on her body. They're just doing it on the poster.
No, I heard they're doing it on her. They're actually taking her body and reducing her boobs.
That's not right.
It's just on the poster, but still.
That's absurd.
That is absurd.
That's absurd.
Don't do that, America.
Don't do it.
Don't.
If you still had a podcast, man, you could talk about that.
I do every Friday at the John Lovitz Comedy Club at City Walk, University.
You're doing a show with John Lovitz.
I'm not. I'm out of time already, aren't I? Damn it, this has been a rough week.
Yeah.
To keep or a rough day, rather, to get showbiz news in because the time has been fleeting. Just flies away when you're having
fun. We're not masters of the clock,
no.
If that's what you're saying.
Celebrity birthdays, blah, 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 blah.
All right.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Join us Monday morning. We have a whole new program. Sign up for Miss Double December.
Fridays at 8 o'clock?
Monday.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
What are you going to do for 69?
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Woodsboro, Pennsylvania, hello.
Roll another one.
Snoop Dogg's in the house.
Just like the other one.
Well said.
This one seems to be about to quit.
What's with the pole?
I need another hit.
Poker face. Poker face. Poker face.
It's happening.
Roll.
City, hello.
Just like the other one.
I'm lost. What do you mean?
This one seems to be about to end.
Expand on that.
I don't have another cent.
Would you say a limited vocabulary due to not a great education?
But don't bogart that joint.
Philadelphia, hello.
Just pass it around.
Okay, explain it with pink. Ever blame yourself. Thanks, Anderson.
I think our discussion just ended. Have a very nice day.
I would like to thank all the fans across the world for the support. I also would like to thank everybody involved to be part of my success. My parents, my friends. I love you all and wish you all the best.
And that was a disgraceful performance. In my opinion, that sucked.
All right, show's over. I'm tired.
Brought to you by people who... Oh, I forget who brought us this.